Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to the 16th day of September, this Wednesday, this middle of the week, this hump day, this downhill to Friday. Welcome, 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 one and all. It is, of course, prayer meeting Wednesday, but I've gotten a lot of correspondence, and I've received some really, really good articles, and I found something mildly entertaining, and I thought we might treat this evening, rather than going into the Cathedral of Common Sense and going down the blood-red carpet, blood-red aisle to the altar, and, you know, the stuff that we usually do on Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I thought we might treat this Prayer Meeting Wednesday a little differently. I thought we might treat this Prayer Meeting Wednesday as a sort of Christian Science reading room. And share some really, really profound, just darn fine thoughts that have rattled around the email inbox for a couple of days and needs to get out there into the ether before, well, you know me. I joke that Ferg has the attention span of a hummingbird. He comes by it honest, because that's me too. It's a hard thing to get to the end of the week and look up and realize, wait a minute, I didn't get to 90% of the stuff I meant. I could, honest to God, I could have done a 6-hour show last night. So rather than doing the usual Wednesday gig, tonight is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Indeed, it is. But here's hoping you don't have any cuts that refuse to stop bleeding, or any conditions requiring medication, because brothers and sisters, tonight is Christian Science Reading Room Wednesday. And we're going to delve into an article I mentioned last night from Dr. Bill O'Brien that he sent along to me. Also going to take a look at something that was sent to me by a number of people with some comments by our listener who in the chat room is known as Solo Pocono, as well as some emails that have come in that are very thought-provoking. So with that in mind, rather than the hacking and the harumphing that goes with the usual prayer meeting Wednesday, we'll have ourselves a nice, calm Christian Science Wednesday, and we will think our troubles away. Okay, that almost doesn't seem like parody, does it? That's the only way we're ever going to get rid of our troubles, is to first, you know, engage brain, then engage feet. You see what I mean? And I got some fun to share with you, too. I got a right-wing email today, and I'm going to share with you the entire exchange between a certain wingnut and me. Because at least I think you'll get a giggle out of that. And, you know, we need to got to have a giggle. This may be the Christian Science reading room of the holy chuckle. How's that? With all that in mind, the phone has lit up right away, and you know when it happens like this, right at the top of the show, I know things must be pretty hot. So we will go to the phone and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, pretty hot. It's only 102.
On the desert.
On the desert. Yeah. Hey, how is it in West Virginia? Beautiful, by God, West Virginia.
It's beautiful. It really is what's left of it. Kate, I was thinking today as I drove back and pulled back into the driveway, I could see the old scrabbly apple trees down at the border of the property, and then the beautiful lush green hill, and it seemed that it's just in these big cumulus clouds on the horizon, and it seemed that something behind the hill was literally pushing the clouds into the air, and I just thought, wow, that's just exquisite.
Yeah, it's fixing to get fall there, huh?
It is fixing.
Fitting to get fall. I'm gonna switch this to speaker because I can't hear you very well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Does that mess up your audio?
No, not mine. Unless I get the cries of complaint from the chat room, we will assume that everything is just fine. Are you hearing me? Okay.
It's pretty loud here in the room, but I can't. It's easier to hear you. I'm on a landline, a borrowed landline. I just thought I'd call in and say hey, and it's thank you for not doing all that slimy preacher guy. Ooh.
he just gives you the willies, doesn't he?
Yes, I want to take a shower every night. I don't have time to take a shower this afternoon. So anyway, he does. I know too many of him, and he's so for real. And you do such a good job of him. I just can't believe it's coming out of your mouth. So, yeah.
Well, you know, there are residuals that I have to deal with as a recovering Southern Baptist, Kate. So yeah, I'm sure you understand.
From Alabama.
Yeah.
Anyway. I just called to check in to let everybody know that I'm like still on the desert, and I after I got home and read 20 books and sat in my recliner for a month, my neighbor got pretty ill and is on hospice care, and I offered to come over and take care of her while her son was gallivanting around, and so I'm doing kind of 24/7 live in, not medical hospice care, but I mean she doesn't need that yet, but just needs somebody here all the time. So I'm on duty until Saturday, I think. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to call in about was that I just noticed that it's like the middle of the month, and I haven't called in on my fundraising rant recently, like for 2 or 4 months, whatever.
And it has been a while.
I bet the pink envelopes are stacking up. Am I right? You haven't gotten in close to $1,000 for the month of September, huh?
No. In fact, it's brutally, bitterly grim. And you know, and you asked. We face these times, Kate. We've faced them before. But every now and then we get within a lot closer than shouting distance of no more horn, no mo. This is one of those times.
I sort of know that when I wake up of the morning and think, for one thing, I haven't been archiving, and I haven't been streaming, and I haven't been live streaming because of just, I live in cell tower hell out here, and then for me to listen to archives is way too late at night, and morning comes awfully early around here, and so I just can't afford the luxury of laying in bed until 8 o'clock in the morning if I stayed up until midnight, you know. So anyway, I'm way, way out of the loop. But I have had several lessons and epiphanies, and it has to do, I think, probably what I woke up thinking about this morning was community building, and that segued into the horn family, dysfunctional family that we are.
Delightfully so, I might add.
What?
Delightfully so.
Yes, I didn't. Oh, that wasn't a criticism or condemnation. It was just an observation. For example, I've been, the lessons I've been given are I don't watch television. I haven't watched television for 25 years, unless I'm at somebody's house and it happens to be on, or I'm in a trucker motel on Route 66 heading in on I-40 coming from somewhere or going somewhere, and that's just, I'm too tired to sleep, and I turn on the TV and look for what not to wear, or flip this house or my ride something. And so anyway, I'm in a place where it's total Fox News game show Glenn Beck.
Oh, the last I heard was Glenn Beck, and then there was kind of a click and a silence.
Oh, well, I didn't say anything after that.
Oh, okay. In other words, hell.
Yeah. Where's the beep coming from, I wonder?
Not mine.
Okay. Whatever. Anyway, so since I don't have control of the remote, nor is it my house, nor is my patient can't be told, you know, I mean, goddamn, she's 84 and dying, you know, I mean, she can watch whatever she wants.
Darn straight.
Yeah, and her daughter and son-in-law in Wasilla are friends of Todd and Sarah, and so there's this red, white, and blue Republican Yahoo teabag thing going on, and oh dear me, and I'm getting a sense of I'm always confused and amazed about how do people get where they get to, like where the big word axiology and epistemology, how do you know and what do you know and how do you know it?
Exactly.
I'm always really curious about that, and being here for a month, I'm beginning to see how people get zoned out on in the alpha state, staring at the TV in the room with the game shows blaring, and then the 5 o'clock news comes on, or a bet comes on at 2, or you know, Price is Right at 9, and it's just I understand. I'm getting a better sense, a better understanding of how people get zoned out and how they get locked into where they're at, into apathy and ignorance, and bless their heart. God love them.
God love them. They just can't help it.
No, that's kind of true, you know. And I think, and then so aside from, and then the racism, and what I'm seeing on TV in the Wilson or whoever it is. That,
yeah, and the woman with the lion, just another lion African sign.
That stuff is so frightening, and I think on the one hand, the whole society is just so screwed up, and so I mean it feels like it's only a small faction until I listen to or pay attention to what's going on around me in Arizona and in this house, and it's just pretty scary, you know. I mean, the racism is so institutionalized that I don't think there's any way out of it. And
except a little, you know, a little dose of evolution, but they don't believe in that anyway. So,
no, for sure. And the hope. I'm still embarrassed for people who had such hope in the change that we can believe in and all that stuff, because it's just not happening. And I heard Ray McGovern has come out and said the administration is afraid of the CIA. And I thought, well, hello, of course. They've been bought and paid for, and we're not going to get any change. Nothing is going to change.
Well, you know, Kate, and I think we've talked about this before, you know, one of the patron saints of the horn is the late, great Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
That, as Albert says, peace be upon him.
Yeah.
And he's got that one segment where he talks about understanding how it is that we wind up doing what we do. And he said, you know, the day after he's inaugurated, they take the new president into a dark room and they start showing him film of the JFK assassination. And he looks up and he goes, wait a minute, this is not the Zapruder film. This is a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, that's right. And he says, where do I sign?
Right. It's just, and no administration is ever different than the last one, and it's just not everything ever going to change. And I get this sense that the culture, the society, is trying to use the tools to fix it that broke it in the first place. And you just can't fix a broken system with tools that broke it. And
moreover, I think it's also complicated, Kate, by the fact that most of us here who one way or another share our time in creating what is the horn, regardless of economic status, all of us, I would say, are on the outside looking in. And, you know, here's a little hint to any lurking right-wingers. You're on the outside looking in, too. Because once you get inside the so-called halls of power,
you're locked in.
Well, once you are locked, exactly, and the thing clangs shut behind you,
yeah.
You realize that you are looking at something. in a completely different fashion. You know, I sit out here in the wilds of wild, wonderful West Virginia, and the idea that it takes 6 weeks to write a letter, it takes 6 weeks to mail a letter from here to Washington, D.C., and I can drive that in 6-7 hours, but it takes 6 weeks to get a letter to my congressman because of the manifest paranoia that surrounds the entire D.C. area and the fact that our Brahmins in the Congress must be protected at all, literally at all costs. You know, remember, this goes back a long way, Kate. There are bunkers. There's one of them here in West Virginia where we're going to go and hide the Congress in case the Russians decide to push the button down, as Donald Fagan once famously sang.
Yeah.
And it's but meanwhile, the rest of us out here, the lumpen proletariat, nah, we roast.
Well, yeah.
You know, the power preserves power, and once you are invested with that power, you become a part of the overarching desire to preserve it at all costs. Okay, if you think, I'm sorry, I think I just started preaching, but I didn't mean to. But if you think about Jefferson and Adams and Franklin and that crowd, they too, to a certain degree, even though they were part of the moneyed elite of the colonies, they were on the outside looking in at a governmental structure in London.
Yeah, they were.
And so, you know, and so now you've got these teabaggers running around gleefully quoting Jefferson when he said that the tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of tyrants and patriots. That was all well and good, but these idiots didn't read the rest of the story, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
Because once they got their Constitution and once they founded their government, you know, Thomas Jefferson spent the 4 years of the Adams administration railing against everything that the Adams administration did as rampant overreaching of the federal government and abuse of the constitutional separation of powers, yada, 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 yada. Jefferson becomes president, and what's the first thing he does? He buys half a continent. And there's nothing in the Constitution about buy half a continent. There really isn't.
No.
But he had been invested with that power.
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't know about white boy power. I just I recognize it when I see it, and I just scoff and laugh at it and go flip it off and say, yeah, you think. As soon as you can have babies, boy, then you can have the power. I'm sorry, I didn't mean
to. No, that's okay.
So we have these problems, and that piece that I sent you yesterday talks about it's so broken. How are we need to start concentrating on what to do right now. We can't fix the power structure. We can't, and nobody's going to give up their power. The only thing we can do is just learn to live around it, to learn to subvert it, or learn counterinsurgency, or learn, I'm not even talking about revolution. I'm just talking about what do we do when we run out of food? If we start now learning how to raise gardens and how to take care of each other, how to teach you, and this
how to save seed and grow gardens that aren't reliant upon Monsanto.
Thank you. There are a lot of places that you can get seed that regenerate. That they, what do you call it? They next year you can propagate them again next year. Some of those seeds they don't. You get one growth out of them and that's it.
Right.
There's a silly word for that, and I don't know.
Hybrid.
Anyway.
I mean, you know,
if we don't start teaching each other how to survive what's so broken, I mean, a sense of community. We have to come together as a community. And I just read an article in there's a newspaper delivered here every morning at 3:30 in the morning from Casa Grande. They carry all the AP and all the wire services, but, you know, very little local news. But anyway, there's a organization down in Tucson that's starting to grow gardens. It's winter garden time now, and people are planting all their greens and stuff. And they're donating what's left over to the food bank. And I thought, there you go. That was a nice thing to wake up to. That was the headset I woke up in this morning. Was like, God, we've got to start teaching each other. We've got to start talking about other things. There will be no health care. So forget it. Drop the freaking subject. It's cut and dried and it's done. They're not going to do anything. We're not going to have any health care. So what are our options? Well, stay healthy. Well, I mean, I have a terminal disease and I'm going to die. Well, so freaking what? We all are. I mean, come on. We'll learn how to die with dignity or in peace, or learn how to give it away before you go. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's just, we just have to learn how to cope with, live with, how to get through what we're in right now. I mean, and I see so much time and energy spent on, it's not trivial. It's not the healthcare issues, the war in Afghanistan. There is no war. We just keep going and making more babies and putting them over there to turn into red mist and send them home with brain damage, you know? I mean, we, you know, stop those abortions. We got to make more babies, you know? So what? We don't do late-term abortions. That baby's going to be brain damaged. Well, shit, he'll be brain damaged when he comes home from Afghanistan. Send him over before he gets too old, you know? God. It's just, I just get enraged. And there's just got to be a way to hold my conflicting sentiments. You know, I mean, I have such tremendous grief for what's going on the planet.
And I think Kate, that there's a way to sort of bifurcate that conflicting sentiment. Because what you say is so true. No one here gets out alive. They don't.
No.
And there is an element of, said the smoker, there's an element of wellness and trying to maximize the time on this planet. I forget which great French philosopher or whatever it was that said life is a sliver of light between two veils of darkness.
Oh, I like that. I don't know who said that.
Maybe Voltaire, Rousseau, you know. drunk guy at the end of the bar, not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anonymous. So, yeah. There's such an element of truth. If there's an element of truth in that, and there are no pearly gates, and there's no streets paved with gold, you know, the door closes and the room's dark. If that's true, then we maximize the time that we're here, and part of the way that we do that is by trying to live well.
Yes.
And that has a couple of different grammatical meanings. That is to live as best as one can and appreciate the time here, but also to live in a state of wellness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we do that, a whole bunch of healthcare issues go away.
Yeah.
Secondly, however, the other part of this where I have to think that activism is warranted is on the stuff that we allow others to do to us that actively prevents us from living well. You know,
if my activism means that I'm going around acting like a victim and saying, you can't do this to me, I protest. Bullshit. I can't do that. That's not what I call activism. I refuse to be a victim. So
no, it's not you can't do this. It's God damn it, you stop doing this.
Right. Yeah. I refuse to participate. I'm cutting the head off of the dragon. I'm quitting. I'm not feeding the dragon anymore, and I refuse to participate. So the Italian fingers to the chin and go, muh. You know, you're out of here. Go away. Don't talk that way. You can't do that. But, you know, it's the law. No, it's a bad law. Okay? You can't do that. I refuse to participate. So, there.
As Bartleby the Scrivener said, I prefer not to.
And what?
As Bartleby the Scrivener said, I prefer not to.
Yeah, or I ain't gonna, is what I say. And I just have to have this, I have this grief and this rage thing going on for, you know, like, I refuse to, I ain't gonna, you can't, but then have to hold it, that it's in conflict with that. I have to hold this vision of what our society could be. I mean, what we could be. I mean, we could have fairness and equality and even justice and inclusivity. I mean, that we could have all of that, and we do, I guess, in some places. I don't know, but I've been gifted with the opportunity to live in a whole bunch of places where that doesn't go on, and I'm wondering if I sometimes think, Jesus, I should just move back to the left coast and go to Portland or go back to Tacoma or Seattle, and then I think, yeah, right. I doubt that it's still as good as it was 20 years ago back there. You know, I mean, I just don't know. So every place I go, it's there, but all I can do is just make it better where I'm at. And that old butterfly in Brazil causes a typhoon or a hurricane in Florida thing, you know. If I just keep putting out good. Was that my phone or yours?
No, that's Ferg banging into the standard for the microphone.
Oh, okay. That's good to know somebody else is there covering got your back. If I just keep putting out good stuff and I keep thinking, how much good stuff can I keep putting out when this just keeps coming? And and it gets worser and worser and worser, and I just keep putting out good stuff. I mean, how much longer can I keep putting out good stuff? God damn, I'm going to bed, you know? I think I'll go read another James Lee Burke book, or, you know, I mean, I just, oh, I've read all of him twice. I'll read him again, you know? I mean, it's just, and I guess community building, I guess if I changed venue, I did a geographical relocation or a change of venue or something, I could do more community building, but, no.
I don't think there's any dearth of your attempts to make things better on the scale that you can make things better. No, not by any stretch of the imagination. My purpose, Kate, in talking about that bifurcation there, was to suggest that, you know, the first thing we do is find out. Well, you know, it's that old thing about God grant me the serenity, the wisdom, all that crap to change the things I can, and live with the things I can't, and have the difference, the wisdom to know the difference.
All right. Well, you got it about one third right, but yeah. Why did you bring that up?
Well, because you're talking about, you know, do I just say screw it and, you know, go forth and elsewhere and go and look for that. Because even you realize that wherever it is you think that maybe you should go back to, you have, with the passage of time and distance, prettied it up some in your own mind.
Right, right. Yeah, you're right. I'm not discounting that. I just do the best I can, you know, and I just pretend every day is a good enough day to die and screw it, you know. I mean, if there's something I can change today and fix it a little better and put out a little bit of good energy and send somebody some healing light and, you know, and some days I just get too tired to do that, and I would just rather eat ice cream and read a book and go to bed and sleep for...
Hey, you know what? Light transmits through ice cream, too.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Every time you put some little element of bliss into the universe, it's got to move around. It's got
damn, to... And if you put crystal hot sauce on it, it makes it, it blows it.
It goes
through.
Faster.
Ooh! Get a man right on it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I discovered white guy discovering something on the North American continent, you know.
Yeah.
I recently discovered a dark chocolate bar that is infused with chili pepper.
Oh, I thought you've talked about that.
No, I had a pale imitation. I found the real deal.
Oh, right. Where? I've tasted them before.
It was imported from Venezuela.
Yeah, I've tasted them. Aren't they wonderful?
Oh, my taste buds just sang arias.
Yeah, we're speaking bliss here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, pumping some serious bliss into the universe.
Praise Jesus.
Hey, it's Wednesday.
Thank you, Jesus, for that chili powder in the chocolate from Venezuela.
Take it where you can find it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you can find it. They, you know, if you got good friends, they send it some sometimes, and that's why I tasted some in Mississippi, and it was, ooh, my God, could die for it. Yeah, God. But I just wanted to get back to when, because my little charge in there is kind of clearing her throat, and I don't know if it's time for a nebulizer or whatever. Anyway, so I need to wrap it up here in a little bit. If we, where my head goes when I'm staring at the wall or at the lizard outside in the yard is, what's the problem? What's the question? And then discuss what, or in my head or in on the air or with another friend or whatever, what can we do about it? Well, usually the answer is nothing, you know? Well, so how do we live with it? How do we bypass it? How do we get around it? How do we short circuit it? How do we, you know, what we, and it all gets back to building community. And I'm just very concerned about the resources. We're running out of water. We're running out of food. We're running out of air. We're running out of oil. I mean, how are we going to survive even the next 2 or 3 or 4 years? We're running out of money, you know? I mean, what are we going to do? We have to build a community. When somebody next door needs something, we've got it. If I need something, I can go next door metaphorically or literally and get it. If we don't build a community, we have gotten away so far away from community, you know, in our society, that we are just out here thinking we can do it all by ourselves, and we don't need anybody. I've got this 54-inch TV screen sitting right here in front of me. I don't need anything for anybody.
Yeah, right, because you've got Glenn Beck's head the size of a basketball.
I don't need anybody for anything is what I meant to say. And so, but that's just not true. So what do you do when the TV blows up or the power goes off or the water faucet run dry and the pump burns out in the well house out back? What do we do? I can't fix no freaking pump. I don't even want to know how. I have to be able to call the man across the road and say, Joe, my pump just burned out. What am I going to do? Well, then he comes and fixes it. Or does something, you know? I mean, we have to have self-reliance isn't going to get us very far much longer. Nor is consumerism, you know. I mean,
what you're talking about is fundamental human nature, Kate, because we are and always have been since we came down out of the trees. We are tribal people.
But what
we are pack animals. There is no such thing as the lone wolf human.
What has happened that we've got to be lone wolves? I mean, we've got to look at that. I mean, that's my hypothesis.
I've got the cheap, easy answer, and it's sitting there, and it's 55 inches big, and it's and it carries Glenn Beck's head the size of a basketball.
Right, just that's on the wall, like in 1984 or whatever that book was.
Because I know you said you've got to go, but
I just can't go on till the top of the next hour.
No, let me just put it this way. Let me draw a distinction between what we're doing here versus what happens on the 55-inch box.
Well, there's no interaction with that thing.
You can't interact, and you know what? You can't turn away from it either.
No, you can't. Oh, no, you can't.
Because, as human animals, our ears are positioned in such a way that we can hear almost 360 degrees.
And the commercialism, they use light and color to draw in and put you immediately and put the person, the watcher, immediately into alpha state. It doesn't take 7 seconds.
I mean, there's been plenty of studies with plenty of people hooked up to plenty of EEGs watching television, and we see the brain just go, meow. I think starting the community starts with that.
Yeah, save the community, kill the TV.
You know, it's all John Prine.
Don't bury me.
It wasn't exactly what I had in mind, but
cut me up and never mind. I can't. I don't want.
No, but you'll get it when I bump out with it. Okay.
Well, you're going to bump me out with John, all right. This all segues into my other concern for what the other things that wake me up in the morning is that without this sense of community, and if the mic doesn't stay hot here, we've lost just one more little segment, one more little neighbor, one more little sense of, one more little bit of community, and we have Hartman and we have, I don't even listen to any of those people anymore because they all got so centrist or so conciliatory or so, I don't know, something, I don't know. I don't even listen to any of those people that were on, the old Air America people, Randy and Kennedy and the Turks and all those people. I don't listen to them anymore because something has slipped, a cog has, a gear has stripped or something. There's too much grease in the gearbox or something has it changed, and I just can't even listen to those people anymore. And if we lose what we've got here, we're going to be way up the creek. I don't know. And I guess I have the other.
Well, can I ask you a question?
What? Well, yeah, of course.
You get it clearly. And with that in mind, what do I do? What do we do? How do? Because see, I don't want to sit here, and you know how uncomfortable this all makes me. But I don't want to sit here and do the Oral Roberts. If I don't see $1,000 by tomorrow, God's going to call me home. But the question is, you know, how much can I expect? Can we expect all of us who, you know, because it's not just me behind a microphone. This is community. This is the thesis of what you're talking about. How much can we expect of each other insofar as our ability to, because, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We go into our own pockets every month to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because we always fall short.
Mm-hmm.
How do I explain that we can't go into our pockets forever?
Well, I've been thinking about that.
I don't want to threaten. I don't want to say, listen, if I don't see it by day after tomorrow, you know, screw it. It's over on September 30th.
No. You hate this word, clients, but when I'm wearing my consult hat, whenever I have a problem, I ask there's always about 17 clients or users in a system. You know, who's going to ride the? I know we need to know the architecture. We need to have the plans for the building, but we also need to talk to the woman who rides the bus to clean the building every day. Well, what do you mean? There's no buses. Well, that's exactly the point. Maybe we should build the building on a bus route. Maybe we should call the city and have them put a bus stop here in front of the, because this is not an accessible building to the people who come and work. You have to ask everybody what they need when you're designing a new system. Okay. What I have asked many, many times from the 32 people who contribute, 30 or 32 people who contribute, there's got to be at least 15 more people who aren't contributing to the upkeep and to keep the pink envelopes white and at least white. What do those people want? What would cause them, what would move them to spend $5? What do they want? What more do they want? What kind of format do they want? Do they want more of this or less of that? Do they want something different? Do they want more musical interludes? Do they want, what do you ask the, what does the audience want? And maybe that would help. If people would write in or call in and say, could we have more of, or whatever. You know what I mean? And so I just think it's not a threat. I just can't understand how come people can't live in abundance. There's got to be somebody out there who spent $5 today on a non-essential or a drive-through window or a half case of beer or a carton of cigarettes. $50 on a carton of cigarettes. I didn't say quit smoking. I just said, you know, smoke 3 cigarettes less for the week and then send $5 for the horn. It's just people are living in scarcity and lack, and we can't continue to do that. We have to live in abundance. And for those people who believe that the power of tithing, or you get back what you give, or you get back 10 times more than you give, that's really true for me. I don't know about all that where it comes from in the Bible, but when I give something away, I get a whole bunch more back. And I just guess, I don't know, maybe the audience can tell you what would move them to send money for upkeep, because there's equipment to pay for, there's equipment to buy, there's power to pay for.
No, there's stuff bought that isn't paid for yet.
Yeah.
I mean, we had major computer issues at the beginning of June, and there was nothing to do to stay on the air but to go in hoc.
Right.
To pay for those things, and you know, that balance is significant.
That's the other thing I was thinking of, is like one of the business models is that when you have a cooperative and people are participating in the co-op, they need to know where their money's going. And so if there was something on the website that said we paid $10,000 for this box and $4,000 for this piece of wire, and our income this month was $30, a visual might get, some people have to see numbers and pictures, and they have to have bottom lines and debit and credit and all that stuff. If there was something on the web, I don't know about the legal, I don't know about the personal, I'm just throwing things out here. Some people have to see that kind of thing. And if this is like a cooperative, then people need to know what's the problem? What's the big deal?
Yeah, I mean, let's. I want to try to put this in some sense of context. If $1,000 comes in tonight, we still haven't finished September.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but that also is not a reason to not do five.
No, it isn't. No, and that's the other thing. Well, there's no sense in me writing my congressman. They don't pay any attention to me anyway. There's no sense in me faxing or calling, or there's no sense in me being nice to that lady in the grocery store because she doesn't even know me. And what do I get from this? And what, you know, a little bitty thing, the little flapping of the butterfly wing, you know, it just causes little bitty changes, causes massive amounts of movement on up the line. In any system, and so $5 would generate another five and another 10 or a 500 or something. You know, I mean, yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, but I just think if people had an accounting or they knew what the problem is. How big is the problem? How big is the problem? You've already stated if we get $1,000 tonight, you're still way far away from paying the power bill. You know, I mean, or paying for the $10,000 piece of equipment or something. I don't know. I guess I'm just putting out a plea just to ask the people who are listening to call in or to email or to write. What is it they want? Why aren't they contributing? I got to say one more time, it makes me so crazy. I get almost resentful that there's only 30 of us who are contributing to the horn. Monetarily, I don't mean the people who are contributing to the support and the spiritual and the mental and the research and all that kind of those people. Yeah, good on you. I mean, yeah, without you, we would be nowhere. Okay, you know, you'd have to be doing all the work. God forbid. Bob would have to be doing his own research. Oh, that's too bad. Anyway, yeah, the people, the support staff, the support crew, the audience, and who are offer support. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the other four or five people who are listening who never send any money in. And if you think it's because it doesn't do any good, just send five. Or I don't have any money. Yeah, you do. You know, everybody's got something. Everybody's got something.
Let's put it this way: if everybody who listens to this program sent in $5 tonight, we could pay off our equipment bill.
Well,
for the computer stuff that we've had to buy.
Yeah, there you go. And we have lost. And if you think that the AM stations, I'm talking about progressive radio or progressive participation, if you think the radio is going to support, very few markets are picking up. People who we need to listen to, people who need to get the word out. KPHX in Phoenix went back on air. They went hot again about 2 months ago or something. Their membership is $500. And they go to 500 watts every night at 6 o'clock, right at the time Malloy comes on.
Yeah, jeez.
I.
Dollar a watt!
I shall say no more. I'm just amazed. So anyway, we can support progressive radio however we want to do it. I mean, if we need to keep the mic hot,
or we cannot support it. And you know, I haven't even mentioned Guy James.
And I'm well, me either. I mean,
and see, he has said it, and it is real, and it's not a threat. He's done. December 31st, it's over. Because there's no daggum support, or not to say no support, but there is insufficient support.
Wow, I am way out of the loop.
I'm telling tales out of school, I suppose. But Ben Birch, you know, Ben Birch gets the occasional contribution, but carries most of the White Rose on his back.
I know.
He carries what we have on his back.
I know that. Somebody not long ago mentioned, I'll get back to community building and then hang up because I just heard the phone ring, and so I need to move over and let somebody else talk. That's another thing. If we had five callers an hour, it would be more interesting instead of me for 45 minutes. But anyway, Somebody a long time ago mentioned the metaphor about ants and how they got across danger and chaos. They build a bridge by hanging on to each other, and that's how they got across. If we don't hang on to each other, we're going to lose this. And if you think, I have just spent the last, since June 4th, without progressive radio and hardly any satellite radio, if you think there's a world out here without progressive radio, you are sadly mistaken. And if we lose the horn, then, I mean, we are done. We are done, because I guess that's all I've got to say. It's just, it's a sad thing for me to even contemplate. So, oh, dear, there would be no place for me to talk about food porn. I haven't even had a biscuit since May.
God knows, no cheese grits.
No. I did. I put my hand on. I had to go to Walmart because that's where we shop, and I put my hand on a box of grits the other day, and I looked at it and I said no, nah. And then I realized it was Quick Grits, and I said no,
heresy,
icky poo.
Okay, we got a little food porn here, and I'll let you go. There's a guy in South Carolina that sells like gourmet hand hewn grits. You know, stone ground. And they are. I mean, I've read the write ups by snooty food people. This is the best grits you ever gonna eat.
Oh my God!
I'll see if I can find him and send the link your way, because you know it's like ordering a pound of coffee from Bob Alexander at Super Beans.
Oh hell yeah!
You get your money's worth.
Yeah, really. And it's in South Carolina.
Oh yeah. And he's probably a secessionist too, but you know, there are places, you know, there are bridge building moments, Kate.
The last person I talked to who put sugar on her grits was from South Carolina, and I just wondered if they did it down, if anybody down there did it but her.
Oh, I'm sure.
I couldn't get by with that. At least I didn't bring up Ayn Rand, okay?
No, she comes up later in the program during the Christian Science Reading Room portion of the program.
Oh, hell, see, I'm so self-centered, I forgot we were even doing prayer meeting and Christian Science and stuff, so I'm gonna move over, leave you where I found you, and let somebody else talk, and, you know, if the mic's just real close to going cold, you guys, so, you know, shut my lights off, so, get on it. $5 will do. $2.50 would do. Drop $2.50 in an envelope. Drop $3 bills in an envelope and mail it to West, by God, Virginia. The address is on the webpage.
Little dad will do us.
Later. I'll see you. It's been good to talk to you. It's been good to...
Well, Kate, we've missed you, dear, and I understand your technology problems, but don't let them stand in the way of... I mean, you know, you can always you can always do what Ed does.
Well, yeah, I could do that, but I've got a hospice patient in the other room.
That you do.
And so you understand COPD and congestive heart failure, so there you go.
Yeah, better than I'd care to, yes.
Take care. I'll talk to you again. See
All
you
right.
The redhead.
All right. Will do. See you, Kate. Bye now. From on the desert, that's Kate. And I really appreciate her saying what is so difficult for me to say. I sincerely do. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. This is a long-lost listener in By God, Alabama.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Jim. Yeah, I forgot to mention.
Yeah, Jim. Down roundabout Auburn's way.
Yeah, you know, Bob, I'll tell you what, I should have called in periodically. Of course, a lot of things going on, you know, but, you know, without you out there, Bob, I'll tell you what, you know, if you were not there, okay, let me just put it that way, you know, you'd have to either pay for some broadcast or listen a week late, you know, over at White Rose. And, of course, a lot of us are running tight, you know, on cash, and that's understandable, you know, I guess one of the characteristics of being liberal and giving and loving is sometimes you run out of cash a little bit, you know?
Yeah, that's the truth. And that's the, I know how hard it is.
Yeah.
I really do, because, you know, we live at the middle of a candle that's burning on both ends too. And both ends ain't far from each other right now.
But Kate brought up a good point, you know, and I mean, many nights I sit here and I listen to you, and it's such a wonderful show, and, you know, we always complain, you know, every time we turn on the AM radio, there's Rush and Hannity and the rest of them kooks out there, you know. And if we're going to get progressive radio, progressive news, obviously the mainstream media is pretty much a skeletal frame, whatever we have left of it, you know. And McCabe brings up a good point. I mean, even if you're running tight, just like myself, you know, we've got to dig down and send you a few bucks, you know. And so one of the questions I was going to ask you was, if we send a check or whatever, look, cause a lot of listeners out there, just like myself, you know, yeah, we're running a little tight, but, you know, darn it, let's dig down there and send you $20, $25. Even if, like you said, if every listener just send in $5, it'd give you a little bump, you know. And really, you know, here's the thing, Bob, I think what it amounts to is we get lazy, you know. We sit there and we listen to you and we say, oh, we don't have, you know, any cash. But this is part of the problem on the left. Is we got to get off our duff, you know, if not physically, and keep people like you on the radio. Because I tell you, Bob, if you were not there every day, it would be a great loss. You're a wonderful commentator, and you're, you know, very educated on the subject. So one of my questions was, if I wanted to send in a check, is the address on the website? I mean, I'm going to do that tonight, but
it is on the website. I can give it to you now if you want, but.
Well, go ahead and give it, just in case somebody maybe listen on an iPod.
Yeah, and just for folks who are, you know, if you go to the website, up at the very top, there's a series of links at the top: home, lineup, contribute, forum, live chat room, horn store. If you go to contribute, that will open a page, and the mail address is right there, okay. And the PayPal link is right there as well. But it's basically this: head on 1038 North Eisenhower Drive.
Okay.
PMB Paul Mary Baker. Mary Baker Eddy. It's Christian Science Reading Room tonight, right? PMB 318. Beckley, West Virginia.
Okay.
25801.
Okay. Yeah,
and that PMB stands for private mailbox.
Okay. Yeah, you know, of course, you got a lot of listeners out there. There's no question about it. You're one of the best on the air, you know, and it's always a treat. And just like Mike Malloy, you know, they only asked a quarter of a show, you know. You know, you hear about the left always complaining. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a reason why, okay, we're not on AM, and, you know, and it's hard to find people like yourself, is because we gotta make the effort to keep you guys alive and well and to prosper, not only to just get by.
Well, and see, Jim, thank you for touching on that, and let me just respond to that real quick. That's been the frustrating thing. In a little over 1 month, we will be 4 years at this.
Yeah, 4 years, yeah.
And that's pretty astonishing. And for me, it's more like 6 years. But this incarnation will be 4 years old on October 24th.
Uh-huh.
And we've been here every blessed night, with a couple of rather singular exceptions.
You're giving your heart and soul, Bob. That's obvious.
Well, and you know, I'm not going to climb up on the cross because everybody needs the wood.
Yeah.
But you know, I love doing this. I love doing this more than anything I've ever done in my life. With a couple of singular exceptions that involve Agnes. That's a joke. But anyway, the frustrating thing is that we can't prosper, Jim. You mentioned we get, and it's amazing to hear. I get calls at 3 o'clock in the morning from people listening on the rerun after Malloy's show, and it's uniformly, you know, this is great, this is wonderful, and I love getting those calls because I'm a night owl anyway.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when one person hears about us, they stick with us.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And so I can't help but sit there in some frustration, Jim, and think, my God, if 10,000 people could hear about what the horn does.
Exactly. And here's the thing, too. Bob, when you expand a little bit, now I understand people listening out there. They love you. They love your show. It's great. It's progressive. It's wonderful. You know, but we're all inflicted, I think, because we're humans. You know, it takes that little bit of effort. You got to get off your duff. You got to go write a check. You got to do this or that, and you try to justify because, okay, I only have, you know, a little bit of money left. Well, you know, if everybody would just send in just a little bit, you know, just like Kate said, $5, you know, like tonight, I'm going to cut you a check for $25. You know, well, I don't really have it, but you know what? The bottom line is, you know, well, you know the status quo right now with the politics and everything and the control of the media. I mean, we're going downhill. If we don't start helping you guys out a little bit, it's going to get even worse and worse. Now, if you prosper and do grow and people, you know, take a couple of minutes and reach down and send you $10, then the next thing you know, you got new callers calling in. The show gets more, a little more vibrant. You know, it's all, I mean, it's very good as it is. But the dynamics of it will change.
And I suddenly face that necessity I talked about last night. By God, I'll go 6 hours. You know, I said it last night. If the phones light up at the beginning of the program and they stay lit up for 3 hours, that means I need to be doing four. If they stay lit up for four, it means I need to be doing five.
Yeah. Well,
because I see the necessity. You know, this is not about me blathering, and I appreciate the very, very kind words, Jim. But this is not about me going on and filibobstering. This is about God. The whole reason for this is to create conversation that has meaningful content so that we can close the gaps that have been imposed upon us by people who mean for us to live in that isolation that Kate was talking about.
And obviously to educate people on the subject matter and the facts. And, you know, our democracy, okay, requires that we have a vibrant First Amendment free press. And we all know what's happening with the mainstream media and whatever. And we've got to make a difference. And one of the fundamentals in our society of the capability of making a difference is to dig down and give a couple of dollars. Now, let me just say this, Bob, to your readers out there. Look, we all love Bob. He's wonderful. He's absolutely wonderful. One of the best out there. And we need to, you know, cut away from this notion of, yeah, it takes a little bit of effort. You know, we're all a little bit lazy. We're human, you know. But let's dig down and send them a couple bucks, you know. I mean, come on, we can do it, you know. And let's make a difference, you know. I mean, Bob's been giving himself for all this time and everything, and we've been enjoying him nightly. And I mean, Kate really sort of brought it home, you know, that it takes a little bit of effort, yes. But let's do it, folks, okay? Because if we don't, you know, we're just going to continue, you know, heading south. You know, that's kind of the way I feel, Bob. So,
Jim, you say so very much, and it's that frustration of eternally hanging on, you know, by the last thread in a frayed shoelace. That's frustrating, because I know, believe me, there's. The horn was born inside my skull in December of 2003. The idea of it. It has taken monumental efforts by literally hundreds of people calling, contributing, writing, participating in the chat room, contributing financially, the volunteers who make the website go. John Fox just sweating himself stupid, keeping the and I mean that no insult to John, just sweating himself crazy, keeping the website up. He does a show. You've got Guy James out there. And all of this on a volunteer effort that's almost 4 years old.
Well, you know, we need to create a little bit of habit, the listeners out there. And you know there's quite a few of them out there. You know, just, you know, once every 90 days, doesn't have to be anything exotic. You know, reach down, send the horn a few bucks. Because I tell you what, Bob, you know, the bottom line is, you know, you should have a really, really decent size audience out there. You're a great commentator. Subject matter is very good, and we need to hear this stuff. And if we don't hear people like you, you know, the First Amendment is going to be run over, buried, and left for cold and stiff, you know, and so you're our last great hope, okay, on the First Amendment. So we need to show our support, and I'm not trying to create a sales pitch here, but it is true, you know, we get a little lazy, and it's a little bit of an effort to do it, but come on, you know, we can do it, you know, and Kate sort of brought that home, and I was sitting there listening to you, and darn it, there really is no excuse. You know, Bob, we want to see you do well and prosper and grow. And we can help you do that. You know, we should, it's like to share the appreciation of you sharing your background and talents. We should likewise share our appreciation, okay, and help you, okay?
Well, bless your heart, Jim. Bless your heart. You've said things that I would never, ever, ever dare to say of this network or of myself because there's a lot of, no kidding, there's a lot of humility that goes into this, too. Because this is a humbling process to have the trust and the time of so many people. And so one does that, you know, advisedly. So I thank you for your words, and I hope people will take you at your word. And
yeah, I tell you what, they know, Bob. This is in the bottom line. Look, you have great cars, and we love them all, and it's wonderful. But you know, the bottom line is, it's us, the listeners, that is going to make the difference in your future. And you've been there every day for 4 years for us. Now, darn it, let's get off our duff. Send you a few bucks. And so that when you know, it'll also add a certain quality when we listen to you in the future. Knowing that I sent you a couple of dollars, you know?
Yeah.
And that's another aspect of it. You know, knowing that, you know, it's just like when MoveOn.org comes out with a great ad, finally, you know, a progressive statement worth saying, you know. Then everybody sends them, they make $1 million, you know, in a couple of days. Well, same thing here, you know, but you're here every day. So, you know, strike away this lazy factor that is in all of us, okay? And let's get off our duff, send the guy a few bucks, and let's keep him going. In fact, not only keep him going, let's do better than that. Let's kick him into the, you know, into the stratosphere.
Yeah, you know, Jim, you know? William Faulkner in his Nobel acceptance speech said, said, man will not only survive, man will prevail. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
I look to that day when the horn doesn't just survive, it prevails. And that day may not be that far away. I mean, you may not realize it, but it may not be very long before we're not only the oldest liberal radio network in the country, we're the only one. And some would say that
one of the best. I'll tell you what, you're right up there with Mike Malloy and Tom Hartman and you guys and Stephanie Miller, you know. And of course, she has more sound effects on her show, you know. But
well, that, you know, hey, we can have sound effects when I get a staff. That or until I get you know, when I get Ferg old enough and focused enough to sit here and be an honest to God producer.
Well, Bob, look, you keep doing the good thing, and you know, keep fighting for our Constitution and the reality that we all know is underneath it, all this stuff, you know.
Well, I tell you what, I wish there was a little spare scratch laying around, Jim, because my beloved Mountaineers are come visiting the Plains next Saturday, and
you got to go see them.
Oh, I'd love to be down there and sit down and have a hot cup of coffee with you. I think it'd be a wonderful thing to do. But,
okay, guys, I made my sales pitch. Bob's got a game to go to next week. And
no, and Bob got bills to pay.
And bills to pay. Okay, I from now on, at least once every 90 days, something like that, Bob, I'm going to dig down, send you 25, and darn it, if a lot of your other listeners, like Kate said, even if it was just 5, you know what a difference it would make. And then, anyway, you deserve it, Bob, and darn it, if people just shed away human laziness factor that is in all of us, we can make a difference, so let's do it, okay?
Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you very kindly, and awful good to hear from you. It's another one of those you won't believe this when I say it moment, but I thought about you the other day. I haven't heard from Jim. Jim, okay? You guys got to check in.
Yeah, and I will, Bob. I'll tell you what, I'm in the background, and, but, you know, I'll tell you what, the way things are going now, it's like, where do you start, you know? And, I mean, it's so crazy, you know?
Oh, I know.
But, anyway, Bob, keep up the good fight, and let's get a few coins to you, and, you know, go ahead and make your pitch once in a while, too, because, you know, there is that side of the argument that it's necessary, Bob. It's a necessity, okay? It's okay to bring that up. It's part of the game, you know? And you have to do it, and you do, but don't worry about being... You know, just don't worry about that. That's as vital as putting gas in a car, you know. You have to bring it up. And Kate brought it up, and we've got to hit some nerves here, okay? So.
Thank you, Jim.
Anyway.
I appreciate it.
Good luck. And we will drop in from time to time more often, because there are a couple of subjects I'd like to chit-chat with you on. So.
Well, I welcome that opportunity just any time, Jim. Just pick up the phone.
All right. Well, yeah, catch you down the road, Bob.
All right. You take care, Jim.
All right, bye-bye.
From deep in the heart of Dixie, that's Jim. And I really, you guys think I'm blowing smoke at you? I'm not. I do my best to remember voices, and the voices have living beings behind them. And when I don't hear from you in a while, we fret. Just do, because this is not some commercial enterprise where I don't give a damn, and we don't give a damn. We worry. Because we live in a world where if we don't worry about each other, and that's not worry in the negative connotation of the word either. It's care. It matters. I know this matters to you, and it's only fair to say, and I say this for the entire Horn family, everybody matters. Everybody matters. We'll continue. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
Can you make a good, like on the Christian TV, where she's really good at
it? Oh, yeah. But
she's got a... I mean that as a compliment. I mean it.
No. I understand.
Yeah. But I heard today on, I don't know why I can ever remember the journal on C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm. Washington Journal, sure.
Yeah. Did you see her hear it this morning?
No. No. I'm a night critter, Juanita. So morning is something I don't often see.
Every once in a while, I see something in the morning. But anyhow. Somebody called from West Virginia. They had the mayor of, I believe it was Seattle on. And he's really into, the better kind of energy that we want. And I think they're doing a lot out there with it, according to him. And this somebody called from West Virginia and very succinctly and just gave a great synopsis of the problem in West Virginia about mountaintop removal.
I'll be darned.
And I don't know, they just have the first name, but he was really, and they gave him time, sometimes they cut people off, but they gave him time to say quite a bit, and he just was really a good spokesman, whoever he was. And I thought, yay for that.
Well, it's one of the beautiful things, Juanita. People are getting more and more conscious of it, of what's going on. I was afraid for a minute you were going to say somebody called from West Virginia and said, "You communist, you can keep your green energy." I'm gratified to know that wasn't what it was.
I was afraid of that, too, when I heard him say West Virginia. I was afraid of that, too.
See how we've been conditioned, Juanita?
I know. Very well. I'll tell you... when I first was able to start listening to left-wing radio, it was just like a solvent medicine or whatever, It was so different than what you hear. Now, I've got to where I watch some of the early morning shows, I guess you call them news shows, on... even on C-SPAN, but I kind of like I listen to it with a kind of a crooked ear, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, one ear kind of tilted, I don't know whether I can believe
careful,
this.
Be careful. And in fact, I went to sleep on one of them, and I woke up and Joe Scarborough was on. And I said, uh-uh.
That's brutal.
Woohoo! No way. But, anyway, and then another thing I saw the other day, I saw that Joe being sanctioned. Is that what it was?
Oh, you mean the Congressman Addison Graves Wilson?
Yeah.
Yes.
And he refused to apologize.
I will not be muzzled for calling that one a liar.
And he said that we've got other things we need to do. And then you got all these Republicans that got up and Blount and all of them. Is it, what's the name of that? Boner?
Yeah, John Boner.
And then the other, there's another guy that's prominent now among them. And, he's disgusting. He's like a fairly young guy. And I think it's Blanton. Does that sound right?
Could be.
But they all got up and said, "This is a waste of time. We've got all kind of problems that we need to get to." Yeah, like they've been getting to. And it took maybe an hour and a half. But that's what they did. They said. I don't know whether it meant anything or not, you know, but they, you know, at least they did it. But that's all the Republicans could do is we need to get to the business of the people. This is a waste of time. We could be doing something about
medical. And see, that's where those five little words that I came up with, yeah, I invented the words, the day after the election, you may remember one. That's where those five little words I came up with come in real handy. Sit down and shut up.
I know.
Just look at them. Oh, you want to do the business of the people. You had this house for 12 years and you didn't do the business of the people. Sit down and shut up. You know.
I was, you know, that, and the thing is like this, they just don't listen to us. We had all these amendments and they just won't let us say anything. Well, that's a lie. I listened to a lot of those. That doctor from Oklahoma, and he gets up. He presented all kind of, you know, like it, because he's a doctor. He knows everything. Well, there's some doctors that agree that we do need something different than what they say. But because they've got a lot of doctors now, people think, well, he's a doctor, you know. Well, hey, that don't make much difference. But,
I'm a member of Congress, and I play a doctor on TV. It doesn't do any much for me either.
yeah,
right, because I've seen those things, Juanita, where they say, and it's invariably on something like Fox. Tom Coburn is with us. He's a senator from
That's
Oklahoma.
That's who I was talking about, Tom.
But
Coburn.
He's also a physician, and that means he knows a lot about this issue.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I would expect that as a doctor, he might know a lot about the human body, but not so much about the financial accounting for health care.
Well,
how about we bring on a Democrat who's a certified public accountant or an actuary or something like that to talk about, you know, health care costs?
Yeah. Well, really, when I watched them, you know, when that was Ted Kennedy's committee, you know, that... who took over that committee for him? Dad. And that guy just, to me, just wasted time. And then he gets out and says that it's going to destroy their medical system. And then they had, I guess it's Ron Paul's son is running for, I don't know if it's congressman or senator in Kentucky. Because his name is Rand, and I know his name for on Rand.
Exactly, and I saw my first Rand Paul for Congress sign a couple of weeks back when I was down in Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah, and I got a full body shudder, just walked through a spider web in the woods.
He kept saying, you know, people can go to the emergency room, and then also he said that, there's a lot of doctors will treat you for nothing. Well, and then he says, get on the telephone and call and find somebody, you know, to shop around. Well, yeah, a mother that's got a child that's half dying, close to death or something, and she's going to be able to call all these different doctors when you don't even know which ones to call? Please, you know.
I know.
They just make it so simple. They, you know, make it.
Well, you know, look, there was who was that creep? I can't remember which pig licking creep it was, Juanita, who, when the young woman stood up and said, you know, I lost my mama to cancer 6 months ago, he said, well, that's too bad for you. I'm sure you'll be on all the shows tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that was the head of the Republican
Party. Oh, yeah, that was Michael Steele, sure.
Yeah, that was who it was.
What a bunch of there's a reason I call them godless, soulless, motherless, heartless repiglickins. Because they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you stop and think about it. And they don't care about our... They claim they believe in God. They claim they believe in creation. I'm not saying all of them are like that, but most of them do, don't they?
Sadly, yes.
Family people, you know.
Right, just like, what's her name, Ms. McGuire, that we heard about a couple of nights ago on the show.
That they're gods, you know, but they don't love his creation.
Nope.
They don't love none of it.
And they don't read his word either. They, you know, they thump Bibles, not read them.
Right. And, you know, when you find out about this family thing, these family people, then it makes, kind of opens your eyes to a lot of stuff, doesn't it? Of stuff going on, you know, that they think that, you know, we used to say, well, you know, if it, they do it, it's all right. Well, they really believe that. It's not just, you know, they really do believe if they do it, it's all right. You know, it's
well, right, right, because it's in, I remember being a young Baptist, young Southern Baptist, and I mean, no disrespect to anybody else raised in another faith, but I remember being taught that, you know, we're proud to be Baptist, because you know how it is with, well, with like those Catholics, they think they go to confession and they mumble some words to a priest and they can sin 6 days of the week. I mean, this is a quote, Juanita. You may have heard this kind of thing,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is institutional religious bigotry that I was raised in. But, you know, we're not like that. We're Baptists. We don't need no priest. We talk directly to God, and we ask forgiveness for all our sins all the time. And because we are baptized, we know that once saved, always saved.
Yeah.
And we know that we have the forgiveness of Christ Jesus, and we don't need no we don't need no ultimate unguent or whatever it is they put on you when you die, when you're like that. Right? We don't need none of that. We got Christ's forgiveness. And but see, there's a dirty little underbelly to that, Juanita, because guess what? It turns out the same the very people who were talking that trash to me, talking down members of another faith to me as a child in that Baptist church, Juanita, it turns out that guess what they were doing? They were sinning 6 days of the week and asking Jesus for forgiveness on Sunday.
Right. And, you know, that's, in a way, I think that is worse than asking a priest to go through it for you.
Well, and we really don't have time in the show to point out the fact that the Reformation was no Reformation. That if you're hanging on to the overarching superstructure and changing clothes on the clerics, you really haven't done much at all. But the point, it's the old joke about, and it's not a joke, it's a true story, about the guy who asked my father to stop in Tennessee on his way back from West Virginia, because they sold liquor in Tennessee, and it was a dry county where we grew up.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, stop
that.
And bring him back a bottle of Maker's Mark whiskey, because that was his favorite, and he couldn't get none of it.
Uh-huh.
Well, Deacon, you're not...
He was buying it.
Right, exactly.
I remember that.
Sure, exactly. You know, Deacon, you think you ought to be drinking that?
But
happened to him a couple of times. Hey, will you... you bring me a bottle out, too, when you go in there? Oh, why can't you go in? Well, somebody from church might see me.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to see me.
Yeah.
And I'm as good as you are.
Isn't it funny how people are?
No, but, actually, Juanita, all things being equal, it's evil what people are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got that right. But,
I think it just brought out a little bit of the cranky in me when I, but yeah, I think that, yeah, there's a, hypocrisy falls under the general subheading of evil. And it's kind of hard to get around.
You were talking about you're going to do something about Christian Science?
No. I just said I wasn't going to do the whole, hemming and hawing, the holler and preacher thing at the beginning of the program.
I'm kind of like, I guess maybe it's a man thing, you know, like.
You get a little wore out with Reverend Bob?
Yeah. And it's like this, you know, that little thing that they used to play about Rush Limbaugh about I'm a Nazi. I don't care for that either. But, you know, different strokes for different folks. But I didn't know if you were going to do Christian Science or not.
No, I was just funning. I just meant I wasn't going to holler and scream and do the usual shtick.
Well, I'll tell you something that's kind of funny. Maybe you might think so. I studied Christian Science for a few years, and I thought I really found what I was looking for.
Not so much.
Well, it didn't. I was disappointed in the politics. I always run into the daggum politics. It was around the time that Kennedy was running, and I told, it was a wonder, they were wonderful people, you know, really sweet people, but they said, oh, you know, you can't vote for Kennedy as a Catholic. And I said, oh, gee, and that just blew me away.
Yeah, 1960, he lost that whole Christian Scientist and Jehovah's Witness block. There's just no getting around it.
Well, Jehovah's Witness don't vote.
Oh, that's right, they don't. Well, but then again, I guess that means he lost them. You know, him, yeah.
No, they lost the Baptists that I'm, a lot of the Baptists, except the older ones and my folks and all. You know what I'm saying. But anyway, I thought you were going to say something about it, but a lot of people, you know, think it's goofy, but it,
no, I think my problem
about it is very logical. If you really think about it.
Well, it's a religion, so it's going to have a hard time being logical. But
you can make it logical in a religious sort of way.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's when you start getting into arguing about angels, how many angels are dancing on the head of a pin. My problem with Christian Science is similar to my problem with a Jehovah's Witness, and that is they will gladly sit and watch and let a child die that could be saved by routine medicine. You know, not even heroic medicine. Something as simple as, insulin.
Well, I'll tell you how I got out of it. I got pregnant. And they told me to go to the doctor.
Really?
Yeah, really. And they said that I should obey man's laws, you know. And if you were pregnant, it was a law for you to go to a doctor. That's what they told me. And that's how I kind of got out of it. But,
wow.
But see, all these religions can make sense to you, you know, if you sit down a lot of it. It may be twisted, Bob. But you know what I'm saying? That's the reason a lot of people, because I was looking for help. I was desperate for help. I mean, I don't think I could have lived any longer or lasted any longer. I might have lived, but I don't think I would have, you know, I would have been put away somewhere. But so I was seeking something. But some people get into these things for other reasons. There's all kind of reasons. People get into different, what you'd call cults, but my God, what is a cult? I mean, what's the difference between some of the stuff they teach?
Well, it's very important. It's very
the regular.
It's very important to remember that all religious faiths at one time or another were, in fact, a cult.
Well, I mean, if you want to call it like acting cultish, you know, like really, ooh, you know. Well, I've had people like in a church I went to, you know, tell me, oh, don't take anything for your nerves. That's the devil's medicine. And these are supposed to be intelligent people. And I was, you know, told by a woman whose husband was a minister, and she was also a physician, and she said, it's the same thing as if you were diabetic. You need help. And these people say, it's like they pick on the most helpless people.
They don't pick on them, Juanita. They pray
and
on
they
them.
And they can destroy
they pray
you.
On them.
They can destroy you. They're so sad. So, to me, I've just come to believe, you know, that how can they say they love God when they don't love His creation that they say they believe, so adamantly believe in?
Exactly. Juanita, a wonderful conversation for a prayer meeting Wednesday.
Yeah.
And Cindy just wrote in and said, if you can remember which program it was, she'll go and find the clip.
What program was that?
No, where the person mentioned mountain top removal.
It was this morning's journal on the...
This morning?
Virginia,
yeah.
Where they call the one that starts...
Yeah, this morning's Washington Journal.
Yeah, it was... does she live... Is that where she lives?
No,
in Seattle?
Well, no, but she lives in the Great Northwest. She lives in Washington State.
Yeah, well, I liked the guy. I mean, you know, I really liked him. And he would listen to the people that called in, you know, even the people that were trying to insult him. And it was very, you know, I thought, he might make a good president if he's, you know, that good. But, I don't know who it was, but maybe y'all would know who by the voice or by the name or something.
But
he was great.
Not likely.
A really good job.
Not likely I'd recognize the voice, but because, you know, the vast majority of West Virginians oppose what's being done to their state. It's just that we don't have a responsive government that cares to listen to them. Juanita, have yourself a wonderful evening.
A friend of yours is what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Right, but odds are I wouldn't, simply because there are so many thousands of us who oppose this. But there's a chance I might.
He did good. He really did good.
Well, I'm sure. Now you got my curiosity up, and I gotta go find
him. Yeah, it was. He really did. I mean, and like you know, usually they don't give you a lot of time on that. It's not like your program. Not at all.
All right. Well, you take care, Juanita.
You
we will
too,
talk
Bob.
Soon. All right.
Night-night.
Bye now. Juanita calling from Central Florida. Onward we go. Oh. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Yourself?
Not a heck of a lot. This is Cossack, right?
Correct. How you doing?
Hanging in there. Trying to, you know.
Just to keep your fingers crossed for Friday. If things go well, I should be able to help you guys out a little bit.
Oh, that would be a beautiful thing. It would be more so for you.
Yeah. Well, living with zero income is a real bitch.
And believe me, I understand that. I know that. Because by the time we're done every month, we're pretty much at zero.
Yeah.
It's a, what's that? What was it? Three Dog Night. One is the loneliest number. No. Zero.
Zero
really bites.
Oh, by the way, did you get the link to the Glenville article?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Amazing, isn't it?
That to say the very least, yes.
I mean, these people bay at the moon. They scream about this idiotic, inconsequential, just absolutely false crap, and they're doing it for the very people who are actually oppressing them. What is wrong?
Oh, that's the very definition, isn't it? Isn't it cost of dysfunctionality?
I want my country back. Fine. Why don't you disincorporate the 500 largest corporations? Then you might get it back.
You know, I think that's just in some ways that's too much of a. You know, Kate was talking about the TV box. That's too much of a leap for the TV box people to make, that there's an actual link between the people who are selling them their macaroni and cheese on the television and what's wrong with this country.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Well, it's probably because you don't spend a lot of time with the TV box.
Well, watch Animal Planet.
No, see, you're not nearly immersed enough, Cos.
Well, wouldn't want to be. I like my brain the way it is. It doesn't need to be washed.
Right, and you know, you don't necessarily want that. You don't necessarily want the whole treatment from Clockwork Orange. You're not going to have those evil thoughts anymore.
No. Just, I don't know. I'm starting to despair. People are such idiots, and they don't seem to realize it. You know, they're being manipulated, and they certainly don't realize that.
Yeah, being had. Well, look, it really is, you know, because I use this metaphor quite a bit, Cossack. It's like walking down the carnival midway and thinking that you really are you're really gonna win the game. It's like thinking you're a real smart guy when you put that first bill down on the game of three card Monte, and the guy goes, "Wow, you won." Double or nothing?
It's when you're putting down the 500 and all of a sudden you can't find the right card to save your life.
There's a reason for that. And it goes back to Fields' laws, too, of course. You know, you can't cheat an honest man. That would tend to indicate that, there's just not a hell of a lot of them in this country. Because, you know, the con artists and the fraudsters and so forth are doing quite well, if the advertisements I see for personal security are any indication.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the idiotic mentality behind these people is, well, I don't want to give away this money because even though I'm not rich, I may one day be rich.
I have in my hand my Powerball ticket for tonight.
Right.
You know, it's $80 million. But if we hit it, then, and I take the cash option, it's probably only $30 million. Darn.
But in reality, first of all, how in God's name do you spend that kind of money? No matter how
I'm willing to try.
Well, yeah, but no matter how luxurious the yacht, no matter how big the home, you know, it gets kind of hard to get rid of, you know, that kind of dough. And I'm the kind of person where I'm perfectly happy just having a roof over my head and enough to eat every day. I don't have to own the world.
Hear, hear. It's reminiscent of this classic line, Cos, from a movie we all know and love, Chinatown. It's a Jack Nicholson line.
Why are you doing it? How much better can you eat? What can you buy that you can't already afford?
That's kind of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, they were saying in the chat room they wanted more sound effects. Nah.
No, but really, I mean, you know, how many hummingbird tongue sandwiches can you eat? And why would you?
I know. That's like a conversation I was having off air the other day, Cossack. You know, we joke about our food porn and stuff, and I talk about the fact that virtually the only program that I will make an overt attempt to see to it that I watch is No Reservations with Tony Bourdain.
Right.
The rest of all those food channel things, Cossack, they nauseate me.
Well.
Because I mean, on the one hand, but on the other. Okay, not all of them. Alton Brown, I still get into Alton Brown.
Yeah.
A little bit, if I had the Food Network, which I ain't.
But I like Rachel Ray, too. She's just so cute.
Yeah, some EDO. Or that almost homemade, what? You know, look, now I'm opening the can, but I'm blonde and I'm fabulous. No, but there's a couple out there. There's this thing that I've seen on the Travel Channel. During reruns and whatnot of Bourdain, something called Man versus Food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's this guy who goes around the country and eats impossible to eat things. You know, like the world's biggest hamburger or the world's hottest chili, you know, and it's not a bowl, it's a vat of it.
Yeah.
It's a great big finger in the eye to the whole starving planet. Hey, look here, we're Americans, and we'll put a guy on TV to nauseate himself to the point of vomiting just so you'll know we're better than you.
Oh, look, it's Mr. Chris out.
Yeah, well, exactly. Don't get the bucket. And, of course, I'm doing this again at 7:34 p.m. Eastern Time, and I'm ruining Scott and Linda's dinner hour, probably. Sorry, guys. But we do that in so many ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got so many mountains, we can blow them up.
I mean, people don't understand that.
We've got so much fresh water, we can poison most of it, and we'll still be better than you.
Yeah. Well, you want to see the mentality of some people around here. I actually have... somebody arguing with me that oil is a renewable resource.
Oh, dear God, and just so folks will know what you mean by around here, you are, of course, calling from what we lovingly refer to as L.A.,
yeah,
Lower Alabama, otherwise known as the Florida Panhandle.
Yep, we're. And they're wacky as loons down here.
Oh, woo, woo, yeah. You know, it's a, yeah, hey, there's another sound clip for us, Cossack. I got to get Catherine Hepburn from On Golden Ponds. The loons, the loons.
There you go. I mean, where did it, well, I know where they get their information from. Talk radio, where if you had half a brain, you'd be nauseated within 5 minutes of listening to that crap. I mean, I just don't understand how people can listen to things like Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh.
Oh, but they do.
Oh, yeah.
With a vengeance.
Buy into it. Lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, what kind of empty-headed knuckle-dragger would actually believe half this crap? A tenth of it.
Well, again, Fields' laws. You can't cheat an honest man. These people want to believe this. They want to believe we're losing our freedoms because that one's in the White House. Never realizing that if any freedoms were lost, there were more lost in the 8 years of George W. Bush, delightfully white though he was, than were lost probably in the first 225 years of the Republic.
Exactly. Just do the debate between David Sirota and that idiot head of the Republican Party in Florida.
No, and I'm half glad I didn't, but half glad I did. I mean, no, I didn't. I'm half glad I didn't, and half that I missed it. Yeah.
Sirota made a very good point. He said, where were all these teabaggers protesting when Bush signed the Patriot Act, when he engaged in unlawful eavesdropping on the American people? Oh, well, people were out there protesting. No, I'm talking about
these people.
They didn't say boo. They were clapping. They were happy. I don't want to hear this crap about, well, there were people protesting. Yeah, they were getting locked up. They were being dragged away for having T-shirts that Bush didn't like, for God's sake. And yet now we have people with automatic weapons showing up at venues where the president is. That's insane. Oh, I'm going to go to a town hall with all my armaments. What?
Because who's threatening you again? Just checking? Oh, but it's the liberals.
Yeah. They want to take away my guns. No. I just want to make sure you know what you're doing with the damn thing, fool. I mean, I've got weapons around here. I don't go walking around, you know, with a piece strapped to my leg when I go to the supermarket. For God's sake, come on.
Not that hard to comprehend, is it?
Hard for me to comprehend.
Yeah, I know.
You're gonna take an M16 to a presidential speech, right?
Yeah, when other people were president, that would have seemed decidedly not smart.
I mean, they would have stopped you over two blocks away, knocked you down, tasered you, taken away your damn weapon, and hustled you off to Guantanamo, because you're an enemy combatant.
Exactly.
I mean, like I said, where were these people? I was screaming because I knew that this was blatantly illegal. When they first opened Guantanamo, I was asking people, who in God's name came up with this idiotic idea? Guantanamo is not Cuba. Guantanamo has the same status as a U.S. embassy anywhere in the world. It is U.S. territory, like it or not. The Cubans sure don't. But legally, it's the same as being a U.S. embassy in any country in the world. It is American territory. American law applies. Hello?
Yeah, seemingly, rather of a seeming dichotomy, huh?
Well, when you have idiots like you...
not me, but...
torturing the law.
Yeah, Y-U-U.
Yeah. Y-L-O.
Yeah, Y-O-O, yes.
Yeah. U-U, or yo-yo. I mean, this guy was torturing the law before the torturing started.
Very true.
I just, you know, again, the authoritarian mind eludes me. For obvious reasons. You know, you have to be mentally ill to be of that kind of an authoritarian mindset. Again, in my humble opinion.
Oh, I think authoritarianism is pure poison. And, of course, it's also hand-in-glove best friends with mass media and, you know, the television. We keep coming back to that hateful little box.
Yeah. I mean, TV has its uses, but like everything else, you should be using it rather than it using you. Yeah.
Well, exactly, and of course it also shows, look, comparatively speaking, at the ways that various countries have dealt with television. Look at television in the UK versus television in the United States. And, of course, look at it in dictatorial regimes where it's used as a means of bolstering whatever it is that the state thinks you need to be thinking, seeing, hearing, doing.
Correct.
And you can see that very easily that, lo and behold, it would appear that the money forces, let's not mince words, the fascists, got hold of it,
mm-hmm.
and promptly perverted it to their own, to their own uses.
Right. I mean, originally, the idea behind television was actually beneficial, you know, to spread entertainment, spread culture, spread information, and then it became something bestial. Think about it. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've noticed that since I was a kid, the amount of advertising per hour has gone up dramatically.
Oh, sure. And the amount of actual content time has gone down concomitantly, certainly.
Yeah. It's like if you ever watch Table in the Classroom on History Channel, They have wonderful things on there, actually. They're usually reruns of either A&E programs or History Channel programs without the commercials. And the whole thing lasts 45 minutes. And then they have to fill in that other quarter hour with old newsreels from the 50s. But when I was a kid... you only had about maybe 7 minutes, an hour of advertising. Now it's at least 15 minutes, an hour of advertising. But then again, when I was a kid, we were still looking.
And it makes it, well, and it's cheaper on the people producing the programming because there's less content that they have to produce.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's better for the advertisers because they've got more time to pour poison into your eyeballs.
Mm-hmm. And again, not that I'm against advertising. I'd like to know what's out there. There actually are useful things that I'd like to get that are actually useful. Most of it, though, is crap like the Geico eyeball, which really nauseates me. At least the Gecko is semi-funny. But the eyeballs just make me sick.
They are creepy. They just are. Yuck. Oh, and by the way, I love the way this works out. Our buddy Scott up in Massachusetts just wrote in and said, "Too funny. I was chopping red peppers when you said that, and we couldn't agree more about that stupid man versus food show. Just gross."
I mean, really, you know, we missed the point. At least most Americans missed the point. Other people don't. That Mr. Creosote is a depiction of what? Us.
Yeah, well, of reality. So is upper class English twit of the year.
Yes. Now, Shrub would have been perfect for that.
Yes, it's the accent's the only thing that's different. Did you catch this business, Cossack, about the TARP program and Bush?
What part of it?
Oh, I thought I was things are fairly fragile around here, so I can't throw half the things that I want to throw. I'm just taking this straight off the page at Think Progress. A new book by a former Bush speechwriter, and there's more stuff that goes with this too, and it's just precious. A new book by a former Bush speechwriter reveals that President Bush fundamentally misunderstood his own TARP bailout proposal.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but wait, you know, it's again into commercial. There's more, but wait, there's more. "We're buying low and selling high," Bush kept saying. But it wasn't true. When he discovered this, he threw up his hands in frustration and said, "Why did I sign on to this proposal if I don't understand what it does?"
Because you're a moron.
George, you're a little late to the game, buddy. Because you are an idiotic, empty-skulled little puppet that was, and what corporate America did with you is the same thing that a John does with a prostitute.
Yep.
And you're leaving sticky and confused, just not broke.
No. His type are never going to be broke.
We're buying low and selling high. That's what we're doing, buying low and selling high. I mean, it's almost like unfrozen caveman president.
Yeah.
I don't understand this economy you keep talking about. I'm merely a simple unfrozen caveman president. God almighty. I mean, if you're the... Come on, Cossack. If you're the president of the United States and you don't get it, you've got a whole bunch of advisors, because, you know, he was up to his eyeballs in czars, too, though no one appears to have told Lonesome Rhodes, the rodeo clown, Glenn Beck. You've got a right as the president to say, "I ain't doing diddly until I've got my noggin around this." Of course, then again, in Bill Clinton, we had a guy who stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning, slept 3 or 4 hours a night, and was fresh as a daisy the next morning, and wanted to know everything going on about the presidency. We got another guy in Barack Obama who is cut out of similar cloth. George Bush wanted to be in his footy pajamas at 9 p.m. with his Game Boy in the bed.
And the pathetic...
I mean, remember the poem that he wrote for Pickles? Roses are red, violets are blue, my lump in the bed, how I love you. My God, if I ever called Agnes my lump in the bed, the only thing in the bed with me the next morning would be a horse's head.
Oh, you'd have a lump.
Oh, there'd be some lump. Yeah, straight out of the Bugs Bunny cartoon. One lump or two? Two. Whack, whack. Oh, thank you.
I mean, good God. And the man treated her like crap to begin with, you know? And it's interesting. I got into a couple of flame wars with some flaming idiots that kept on going on and on about, "Well, Kennedy murdered that girl and nothing happened." I said, "Yeah, and Pickles murdered her classmate and nothing happened." Huh?
Classmate? Boyfriend?
Just because she...
You know, if only it would have happened at the MENA airport, Jerry Falwell might have been interested.
Yeah.
Oh,
because
God.
She ran a stop sign doing a 3 times legal limit.
And, the speed limit. God only knows what the alcohol limit was.
Exactly.
Well, of course, back then it was Texas. There probably wasn't none.
But, you know, these people are idiots. I mean, just flaming idiots. Idiocracy is taking hold, Bob. The one
wrong verb tense. We had a problem with this last night. Wrong verb tense, Kazakh, has taken hold.
Yeah.
And yeah, you want proof? I got a beautiful one here.
Far away.
A little company called Public Policy Polling. And they surveyed New Jersey voters. 21% of those responding. Okay, 21%. There's that number again, those, you know, those dead enders. 21% of New Jersey voters. My apologies to the New Jersey listeners in the audience. I know you're not part of this. 21% of New Jersey voters either openly believe or aren't quite sure that Barack Obama is the Antichrist. The Antichrist. Not might be, is.
No, that honor goes to Ronald Wilson Reagan, 666.
Yeah, it still does add up, doesn't it? And his name and his number shall be 666. And lo, he shall have greasy hair that will never turn gray.
And he was already senile when he was in office, for God's sake.
Yeah. 21% of New Jersey. God only. I'm just glad they didn't ask in West Virginia or Kentucky. Or, as Reverbo likes to refer to it, South Kentucky. Or Alisippi.
You know, it kind of amazes me, Bob.
Or lower Alabama, God's sake. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
You live there.
Oh, yeah. But I was just thinking about that. I'm looking back at schooling the way it was when I was a kid, back in the dark ages. But we actually learned things like civics, history, social studies, you know, how the government works. What are the three branches of government? What are the responsibilities?
Meanwhile, the teabaggers say, government class? We don't need no stinking government class. We've got the USS Constitution. Oh, I hate him, Cossack. I just hate him.
I mean, you would have been laughed out of the class if you said that. The USS Constitution is a ship. The U.S. Constitution is a document.
Don't confuse them.
There's a big difference. I just, you know, for the life of me, I just can't wrap my head around how badly things have gone downhill. The average person is functionally illiterate. I don't know that people read books anymore.
God, I hope so.
I mean, if I don't put away at least one or two books a week, I feel ill. You know, I got to do it. It's part of me. You know, and most of them are nonfiction, but that's, you know, that's me. But even those people that read, a lot of them read essentially crap.
Oh yeah, we went over that. I think it was Reverbo that shared that shock and horror. The literary list of what's worth reading, and the popular list. Ayn Rand nowhere on the literary list. Everything that Ayn Rand ever wrote, popular list. Remember, and we went over those percentages. It was the essay by Chris Hedges from November of last year, in which he talked about the percentages of literacy and who reads, and the thing that I drew out of is, remember, of that literate proportion, you know, the proportion of people who read at least one book per year, which is a minuscule number in the United States, there's a significant portion of them for whom the one book they read last year was the Left Behind series, which is in its essence worse than illiteracy.
Correct.
So, I know.
When I was a kid, I was reading things like, I don't know, really dumb things like Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, you know.
Elitist.
It's important. You got to know where you've been to know where you're going and where you are, you know. The book by Shire about the Third Reich.
Oh, yeah. Or his book on MacArthur, or his book on Churchill. They're all good.
Yeah, but these are kind of important things to know, you know? You need to read up on this stuff. You know, a few years ago, what's his name? It was one of the right-wing bobbleheads, a professor, who made an astounding discovery. He was teaching class, and more than half of his class couldn't understand why in this picture the Americans were killing those nice little Japanese people. And when he checked, most of the class had no idea who fought who in World War II. We're not even going back to World War I, just World War II.
Oh, no. Well, look, again, there's that great moment in Bushness. You remember a few years back when he was giving an address in Japan and said, for 200 years, the Japanese and the Americans have been the best of friends.
Yeah, right.
That happened while my father was still alive. I think that hastened his demise.
You mean when Commodore Perry steamed in Tokyo and shelled the city?
Well, there's that, and that little dust-up in 1941, and yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, people don't even seem to realize that we literally blew the doors off of Japan to get them to open up to us. They remember. We might not, but they do.
Precisely. Well, Koss, it's been a wonderful conversation. I'm gonna call a break here, and because I haven't had one in almost 2 hours. And we'll see where the rest of the program takes us. Always so good to hear from you, and so good to know that you're holding down the fort in L.A.
Doing the best I can.
Yeah, you know, fight them back as best you can, and well, you know, give no ground.
trying hard.
All right, take care, Koss.
All right, take care, Bob.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
From North Florida, otherwise known as Lower Alabama, that is the Cossack. And, let's see. Yeah, we will take a break. And I promised, dadgum me, I promised Kate a bumper tune, and the theme keeps coming back to us and coming back to us and coming back to us. And by Jove, I'm going to run it. So we'll take a little break. And, you know, we're going to get around to the reading room segment of the program, but a couple of phone calls to take before we do so. After we come back in the top of the third hour, you're listening to America's listener supported. Really, liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. And I'm Bob.
Level-headed dancer on the road to alcohol. And I was just a soldier on the way to Montreal. Well, she pressed her chest against me about the time the jukebox broke. Yeah, she gave me a peck on the back of the neck. And these are the words she spoke. Blow up your TV, throw away your paper, go to the country, build you a home, plant a little garden, eat a lot of peaches, try and find Jesus on your own. Sat there at the table and acted real naive, for I knew that topless lady had something up her sleeve. Well, she danced around the barroom and she did the hoochie coo. Yeah, she sang her song all night long, telling me what to do. Blow up your TV, throw away your paper, go to the country, build you a home, plant a little garden, eat a lot of peaches, try and find Jesus on your own. Well, I was young and hungry and about to leave that place, when just as I was leaving, well, she looked me in the face. I said, you must know the answer.
up to this very day, we've been living our way. Here is the reason why we blew up our TV, threw our paper, went to the country, built us a home, had a lot of children, fed them on peaches. They all found Jesus on their own.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95? Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Yep, hers. And something in real quick via the mailbag. Heard from our buddy Maura in New Jersey. She said, "And you wonder why I cried when I had to change my area code from 212 New York to 201 New Jersey. Southern Jersey is very redneck. KKK and all." But still, it's a little stunning, isn't it? I mean, I'm looking at the polling data here. Question 11. This was question 11. God only knows what questions 1 through 10 and 12 through 47 were. Public Policy Polling Survey of New Jersey Voters. This isn't just Republicans. This is of voters. You know, people with the franchise to choose their elected representatives. I mean, if there was ever a reason to extend the franchise to convicted felons, this is it. Because, you know, the people who are the law-abiding citizens ain't making the grade, ain't cutting the mustard. Question 11. Do you think Barack Obama is the Antichrist? If yes, a phone poll. A telephone poll, P-O-L-L. Okay, are we straight on the damned English language? If yes, press 1. If no, press 2. If you're not sure, press 3. Yes, he's the Antichrist, 8%. No, 79%. There's your hopeful demographic. Not sure, 13%. You know what? I can get past the 8% just because there's probably an 8% smart-ass margin of error in any telephone poll simply because, you know, you're calling people at home and taking them away during their... You're stealing their life! But it's the not sure.
The 13%. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that one. Not sure if Barack Obama is the Antichrist. Not sure if the sun revolves around the earth or vice versa. Not sure if we as human beings breathe water or air. Not sure. So, yeah, Maura. I imagine that was cause for significant grief. Hmm. Area codes mean things, don't they? Not sure. Not sure. And let's see. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing? This is Dave from Ohio.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Pretty good. I called last week, about a week ago, but I've been up to some mischief again.
Oh, good. That's always nice.
I thought I'd share it with you. I was driving around Columbus, Ohio, and scanning the dial in the middle of the day. I came across a show that I'm not real familiar with. Maybe you are, but it was the Mark Freeman Show on a Christian network. So I listened to it, just stopped for a minute and listened to it, and what caught my attention was a lady caller. It was a call-in show, and she tells this Mark Freeman, she says, I have a trouble with Barack Obama. He says, you do? Well, what's your problem with him? He's a communist. I'm, you know, getting a little hot under the collar because he patronizes her. Well, I understand what you mean. No, tell me what you mean, Mark. I'm thinking out loud. What are you talking about? He's a communist. So he patronized her, and obviously she was a little bit far out there. And then the premise of the show, Bob, is he has a co-host, if you will, or she screens the calls and kibitz in when he asks her a question. I believe her name was Sherry. So they set it up where you can call in if you have an outrage or a prediction. So she says, well, Bob, I have an outrage. Well, what do you have, Sherry? And she says, well, in Eastern Europe, I'm outraged because they're banning Christian churches and putting all types of regulation on it in Eastern Europe. So I'm listening, and she says, and you know, Mark, that's what's going to happen with Obama in the United States. I look for that to happen. So it's an outrage and a prediction. Well, at this point, I'm going, where's your number? I need to call into the show.
Oh, how are you? You're driving when this is happening?
I'm listening to it on the radio, so I pulled over to be politically correct with my cell phone, and I dialed the show. And this Sherry, the one that just gave her outrage that Obama's ready to put a lot of restrictions on formal religion. And I get Sherry, she answers, hi, Mark Freeman Show, what do you have, an outrage or a prediction? I said, I have an outrage. Now, granted, probably 99% of the callers are sympathetic to whatever the garbage is that he's spewing. So she just lets me go right through. I'm going, oh, this is going to be good. So Mark comes on, just like you do, and says, hi, Dave from Ohio, and what's your outrage today? So I think they thought I'd go off on a tirade about Obama. I said, well, I'm very upset. So what you upset about? I said, your show, you just took a call from a lady to call Obama a communist, and your co-host just said that he's going to ban, put restrictions on religion. I said, do you understand what I'm talking about? This is why we need a fairness doctrine. You're just patronizing these people on the right, far right. I said, and this is your show, and you call it a Christian show, and you do a lot of praying on your show. Let's pray for this, let's pray for that. I said, this is really hypocritical. And I said, what I have a problem with a lot of Christian, organized Christian religion, not that I have anything against it per se, but I told him on the show now, I said, in the 60s, and I'm 60 years old, but in the 60s, I said, churches stood up, they were on the forefront for civil rights, open housing, anti-war. You saw all different denominations or religious groups standing up for the people. And I said, you're talking about the cost of health care is too high and Obama's plan stinks. I said, do you ever read the book that you refer to? and stand up for these people. What's your solution to help people in need? I said, I don't hear anything on that show except really hate speech. And it's the Christian show. I said, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I said, this is my outrage. So I challenged them to, I said, why don't you stand up or give us some solutions to help people on your show? And that's kind of where I took him, and they didn't bleep me off or cut me off. I think they were just a little taken back. So after I hung up, he didn't really comment, talk to me directly. So when I hung up, here's how they marginalized my comment. Oh, I'm sorry, I left one part out. I said, I'm 60 years old, and I'm a proud liberal, and I'm open to new ideas, and you're type of show, not the only one, but they make the word liberal a sin. And I have news for you, Mark. Being a liberal is not a sin. And that's where I hung up. It was kind of my last Christian shot at him. And so then I hung up, and I'm listening to what he's done. What's their reaction? What are the callers going to call in and want to lynch me in Ohio or something? So here's how he marginalized me. He says, well, there you go. Here is another liberal. You know what we should ask that liberal? Now, I'm not Dave from Ohio. I'm just a liberal again.
You're right. You've been dehumanized.
Yeah, I'm broken down into just a one word. So he says, well, what we should ask that liberal, and he didn't ask me on the show. He said, well, what did he do in the 60s if he's a liberal? What did he do then? I really almost wanted to call back and tell him, you know what? I was in open housing marches, and I marched against the war. And I have a sign in my yard for health care reform, you know, but it's like liberals just talk. They never do anything. And I was a little bit PO'd by it, but I was overwhelmed by getting past the screener and actually.
Yeah, exactly, Dave. It's a beautiful thing that you got to do that. And that you sort of got away with it because, you know, you didn't use any of the fun words. So they didn't get to use the magic dump button.
Yeah.
Just by way of commiserating a little bit, I had this in the stack to touch on earlier in the show, and this is the perfect time to share it. I got this email today, and it was a mass email, and holy mackerel, there must have been 100 recipients on it. And the subject line was, I am honored to do this. And there's just going to be a little bit of reading involved. Did you know that the ACLU has filed a suit to have all military cross-shaped headstones removed and another suit to end prayer from the military completely? They're making great progress. The Navy chaplains can no longer mention Jesus' name in prayer thanks to the wretched ACLU and our new administration. And that's the RETCHED ACLU, by the way. Not the WRETCHED. I realize that the difference is not lost on you.
Right.
It's the RETCHED ACLU. And then it goes on and says, I'm not breaking this one. If I get it 1,000 times, I'll forward it 1,000 times. Let us pray. And then, you remember, Dave, how during the Bush administration we kept saying, let us honor our fallen from your war of choice, and let us see the flag-draped coffins come home, that we may remember them and hold them in our hearts. Remember that? And no, it'd be disrespectful to the families. Even when the families were going, but we want America to see it. Oh, well, we don't want it. See, you're upset in your time of grief, and you don't know that'd be disrespecting you. So what I got here, I got a photograph in some sort of military cemetery with a bunch of little tea lights in front of headstones, and in between the headstones there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 flag-draped coffins. Sitting open in the cemetery, you know, clear Photoshop job. Mm-hmm. Then I get another photograph of somebody walking again through the cemetery with these little tea lights in front of the cross-shaped markers that obviously are not real. Then I got a photograph of some sergeant bowing his head, putting his hand on an empty helmet, which is on top of an M16, which is above a pair of boots. With a photo of the soldier in front of it. Then I got another picture of a bunch of guys standing in the sand in their desert gear with their heads bowed but their hats on. I got a little kid receiving a flag from a Marine. I got a carriage, a caisson, carrying a flag-draped coffin through some military cemetery. And finally, I got a Marine in dress blues blowing taps. And it says, prayer chain for our military. Don't break it.
please send this on after a short prayer. Pray for our soldiers. Don't break it. Lord, hold our troops in your loving hands. No punctuation. Lord, hold our troops in your loving hands. Protect them as they protect us. Bless them and their families for the selfless acts they perform for us in our time of need. Amen. Prayer. Request. When you receive this, please stop for a moment and say a prayer for our troops around the world. There is nothing attached. Just send this in on the people in your address book. Do not let it stop with you. God bless you for passing it on. So, you know, Dave, I can't let this go. I can't let this go.
Well,
so
I it's just like when I heard when she called Obama a communist, and then they go on and they build on this false premise. And I think I left out one part that I hit on. I said, you talk about the cost of health care. You don't talk about any solutions. And then I always hit them. It's my slogan, if you will, or whatever. It's what I always tell people from the right. I said, you know, I didn't hear on your show, which I didn't listen to a show, so I guess I bent the truth a little bit. But I thought I'd probably be right. I said, I don't remember on your show you protesting the cost of the war. And I said, you know what health care needs? It needs a bunch of little ribbons that we can put on the back of our cars that says we support health care because you let all the money be spent. You let all the soldiers be killed. We really haven't accomplished anything. You don't want to take a vacation to Baghdad today, do you, Mark? And I said, but you put that sticker on your car and it made you feel like an American. I said, that's far from being American by putting something on your bumper. And I said, let's put the health care stickers on our bumper. We'll all feel good. We need to solve the problem, not put stickers on our cars. But anyway, that was my outrage, as his show is set up. Outrage prediction, and I was able to crack the code. But I agree with you.
See, it got all over me, and I hit reply all, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
To this right wing email, I hit reply all, and I just said all. The biggest problem with this is that it is entirely untrue. It is yet another right-wing internet hoax designed to whip a credulous public into a furor over something that doesn't even exist. Remember, a lie can go around the world before the truth gets its shoes on. Prayers are said daily in the military. Crosses are still used for burial markers, as are Stars of David and Crescents. There are no plans to eliminate them. In fact, if anything, there is a movement to recognize more faiths with burial markers. And the word is wretched with a W, not wretched with an R. Two different words, two different meanings. That wretched ACLU, by the way, fights for everyone's civil liberties. They even went to bat for no less than Rush Limbaugh when he was caught trying to rustle up extra illegal prescriptions for his drug habit, remember? If you want to see what's really happening with religion in the military, try the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, militaryreligiousfreedom.org. Okay, so that's what I sent. So this knuckle walker in North Carolina at a company, at a company named, EerieSupply.com, IHRIESUPPLY.com. This dude named Ernie writes back. It's like, oh God, I got one on the hook.
Hey, Bert.
I got Ferg over here, my son. Hey, Bert. But he writes back, and it was a beautiful thing, because I mean, you've heard the text of what I sent, and. And so in writing back, his response was to say, all capital letters, mind you, and no punctuation, just another Obama supporter. What about our freedom? We are losing a little bit every day. Thanks, people like you. So I'm not going to walk away from that, Dave. So I got to.
I can't. My biggest problem is if I scan and I hear it, it's like I'm getting so over the top. I got to pull over and figure out how to get by the screener on some of these shows.
Oh, I know, and it's like this Ernie guy. I said, nice ad hominem attack. Do you even know what that is? Ever pass a logic class? Didn't think so. Where in my response to that ignorant screed did I evince support for President Obama? Where does President Obama come into this? Your inability to reason coherently and point out where anything I said was unfactual betrays your own sad political bias. So immediately I get back. I mean, I'm wondering if the company knows that he's doing this on their time. Oh, yeah, well, you are a pompous liberal. That's P-O-M-P-A-S. And, of course, I shoot back, and, of course, you, sir, are apparently barely literate. Go ahead. Look up ad hominem attack. Fits you a T. It's always good to try to learn something every day. In your case, once a decade would be a start. By the way, you still haven't refuted the factuality of my assertions. Shall we take that as a surrender on your part? Good. Best regards. So here we go.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love when they have to actually deal with it. You know, it's just totally ridiculous.
But it's so predictable, Dave, because immediately comes back,
Again, all caps. Boy, are you angry? Did I hit a nerve? I think you need the Lord. I'll be praying for you. Sorry you are so angry. And so the last, I got the last word on this one. No, Ernie, you didn't hit a nerve with me any more than I hit a brain with you. Please don't pray to your imaginary bloodthirsty God on my behalf. I follow the teachings of Yeshua ben Yusuf, a Palestinian day laborer from the first century of the Common Era. And I imagine he is still looking up Yeshua ben Yusuf.
Well, it sounds to me like Ernie took a squirt gun to a gunfight and you had your 45. So it just doesn't work. Well, anyway, when they marginalized me, I thought I'll call back and tell them what I did in the 60s, and then I thought, nah, I'll take my winnings. I got to your show because his show, whatever this is, and maybe you know, but I don't know the history of his show, but the callers were coming in from North Carolina, South Carolina, Louisiana, California. So it was all over the United States from his call base.
Oh, yeah, Dave. And see, that's the insidious thing. Are you familiar with what's called low-power community FM?
No, not really.
Okay, well, it's something that was created by Congress to make the radio waves available to individual communities. You know, you might play some Beach Boys and some 60s hits and stuff like that. But, you know, if there's a train derailment and everybody's got a shelter in place because the noxious cloud of deadly gas is descending on your town, they can get on the air and tell you to do that. There's a great guy named Bryce down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast who's a low-power community FM. He's the only guy who managed to continue broadcasting through Katrina. The great big corporate broadcasters couldn't. Bryce could because he was literally up in a tree during a hurricane hanging onto the mast of his antenna.
Now that must be what his show is then, because I thought it was just a local Columbus show. I realize.
Well, no, what happened is the religion industry, these massively funded religious broadcasters, every time a low-power community FM license comes up for availability via the FCC, this conglomerate of religion industry broadcasters goes out and bids up the license and buys the license, and then what was supposed to serve a community is actually turned into a clone station that receives a satellite signal, I think, from Idaho.
Oh, I see how they get around it. Okay.
There's another group out there called the American Family Association, and they pour millions of dollars into radio because what you've given evidence of, Dave, is the fact that they cannot live with a fair fight.
No, I'm not trying to claim I'm the most brilliant person on
earth. No, that's pretty brilliant.
I use logic, and I can tell a lie when I hear one, or the patronizing to their call base of non-factual facts. And I don't know how you feel about it, but the other issue that really drives me in talking about Christianity and the state of religion in our country, again, I'm not anti-religion, but if you understand what I mean, when I grew up in the 60s, there was a great deal of respect, and I happened to be raised Catholic. And I remember marching in Milwaukee across what they called the viaduct to the south side of Milwaukee because they wouldn't allow any minorities to live on the south side of Milwaukee. It was one of the most segregated cities in the United States. Anybody can look that up with listening. Boston was another one that was pretty segregated. But Milwaukee was. And who was the head of the line? There was a priest there called Father Grappi. And when we grew up, as I was younger in the 60s, we looked up to the priests and the leaders. I'm finding it hard to point that out today. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't care if it's Baptist, Catholic, or whatever else, that are actually standing up for some of the social causes. It seems they had time in the 60s to do it, whether it was the war or said open housing, civil rights, voting rights, but it's like, what happened?
Well, you know, you mentioned being Roman Catholic. So many things came out of Vatican II, Dave. John Kennedy was profoundly moved by John the 23rd and Vatican II and the reforms that were instituted. He saw an evolving faith that could actually speak to the needs of aching humanity, and so did so many others. And what you see happen is that with the ascendancy of Paul and then his successor, John Paul I, who many believe was bumped off because he was cut from the same cloth as John the 23rd, And then John Paul II gets in, and what you get is a whole bunch of radically conservative cardinals and bishoprics being instituted and invested, and suddenly that socially conscious clerical movement of the late 50s and into the 60s dries up because they were actively suppressed by the church.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, and it's very disheartening for me. That's on the Catholic side, and your description of it is very accurate, and that's what I've seen. But even some of the other ones, they sort of fall in line with the right in a lot of ways, and I just don't see that rebel spirit of it's about people, and if it's about the good book, taking care of those who can't take care of themselves, or any passage you want to quote out of it, they just sort of just, well, they're sitting on a sideline. It's like the parades, it's like if we had a march against the war in Vietnam, well, they'd be on the curb when in the 60s they were leading the parade. So I'm just perplexed by it that whole group has just, and I don't want to get into it, but is it just abortion? So you just figure that's the issue and we're out of everything else? It's not right.
I don't think it's that. Abortion is leveraged on the right wing, Dave, for political reasons. Because if you actually had real concern in the right wing about fetuses, you would have real concern about babies postpartum. And there's no way that anybody can present a compelling argument that the right wing cares about a baby post birth. I remember back when I was on the air on the terrestrial radio, I had a right-wing politician from southern West Virginia call me and castigate me for blasting the Republican Party for not giving a hoot about, you know, real babies as opposed to ones in utero. And I said, so are you telling me that no, he says, what happens to the babies after they're born is none of my business. I'm only responsible for them until they are born. And I said, does your wife know? But you know, that was rather a telling admission on this guy's part, because I mean, this guy was right wing all the way to his toenails. It was fortunately he's out of office now.
I would love to see churches, not just the Catholic Church. Certainly, I would please if they would step forward and say, come up with some broad statements about health care and why it's needed to take a side. Can somebody in the religious community take the right side, which is the liberal side, you know, as far as that goes?
Well, the sad thing, though, is that it is being taken. Where health care is concerned, Jim Wallace and Sojourners are committed in the way that Christ would be committed to the idea of caring for one's fellow man, and that includes decent wages, that includes health care, that includes the housing issues and issues for immigrants, documented and undocumented. I'm very proud to be associated with our local Episcopal priest here in my little community, who organized us to march up onto a mountain, our local mountain that was being blown up at the time, and held a liturgical service that included a formal church-based blessing of the mountain. And you know what? That's a smoke and candles and stuff aside. That's a Christianity that I can at least identify with. I don't necessarily go in for a lot of the mythology, but you know, it seems to represent a basic following of the message of that Palestinian day laborer I referenced. You know, who had radical ideas like quit treating each other like trash, and they killed him for it.
Well, I appreciate you letting me get on the air, and like I said, if I crack another, get past another screener when I get worked up, I'll let you know about it. But I always call myself Dave from Ohio. I may have to change my name if I get into any more shows.
Well, no. But I think if you get into too many more shows, you will become Liberal Dave.
Yeah, Liberal Dave. But they really...
That's known as pre-marginalization.
Right. Well, hey, you have a good evening. I'm looking forward to listening to the rest of the show.
Dave, it was a joy hearing from you, and don't ever hesitate to pick up the phone.
Okay, thanks again.
Bye now. Dave, calling from Ohio, taking on the right wing and beating them at their own game. Let's keep things rolling here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
Well, hey, Ed.
Well, how's it going?
I'm hanging on for dear life.
Well,
but that's any given day around here, you know.
Well, that's a lot of places too. But I really enjoyed Dave's conversation and common sense approach to things. He really made some good points. But I want to down unions a little bit for what they are compared to what they used to be. Word got back to me that how you guys was treated when you went down to protest the mountaintop removal or get involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that was, it's ironic, now I don't know if these were union people, but they were miners. They should have been union if they weren't. But I remember when they come out on strike against the rationing of gas, and they expected everybody to, in fact, we went out with them. They come around and picket us, and we, of course, we didn't cross picket lines. But it's funny how much cane they raise about a few hundred jobs that they might lose, and I don't know what the number. I have no idea how close what the number is, how close I would be to guess it or what. But I do know, in comparison to the auto workers that's been laid off and fired and never will return back to their job, they can't compare with it, not the mountaintop removal group. And to treat it shows me that they don't give a crap about nobody but themselves. And to hit other people and be as arrogant as they was and idiotic in all ways is, I don't want to hear a union from them kind of people. And you know I'm 100% union.
Oh, Lord, yes.
But I just, I have thought about that ever since I think you mentioned about somebody getting hit in the back and so forth. Or is this one for all and all for one idea? Or the injury to one is an injury to all? It didn't say nothing about injuring each other. And, you know, they might as well have got in bed with the preachers and then the cops. So I just want to do a spiel on them because, you know, if they're in a union, I'd never pay any dues.
Well, see, that's the thing. You can't get the UMWA to say anything against mountaintop removal, Ed, because they got 700 or 800 or maybe 1,000 members who actively are engaged in mountain destruction. You know, because it's not mining, Ed. There's no way that
no, it's not.
It's heavy equipment operation. It's not mining, and so they won't say boo against the mountaintop removal because Cecil Roberts to this day harbors this absolutely insane notion that one of these days he's going to organize Massey Energy. We'll see.
Yeah.
And so they won't stand up for the underground jobs that are what the UMWA is, and is what the UMWA that my grandfather and great grandfather, along with so many other thousands in Appalachia, fought to build and bring. You know, it's they've turned it into a perversion of itself.
Yeah. Well, I know what it used to be. I remember when my dad used to go out at before daybreak and get home after late in the evening. I'm talking about at dark. And if you went out and if they had a big slate fall or something and they had to move that, then that was called dead work and they didn't get paid for it. If it took 12 hours to move it or whatever, they didn't get paid for that time. And I remember that and I remember them talking about it. But the miners, and I hope the ones that are real union guys and stand up will forgive me, but as far as I'm concerned, the mine workers and people like Cecil Roberts would kiss a horse's butt for a morning glory. And they're just really disgusting. And when I heard some of the stuff that went on at that, and then O'Brien, Brian the Swine has got him a song on there that he plays now about the a coal miner. I don't know if you heard it or if anybody's told you about it.
I didn't even know that station was still broadcasting.
Yeah, well, I listened to it one morning when I was laid up here, and they had this guy come on there singing a song about, putting people down that was against surface mining and so forth like that, and underground mining too. But, Bob, you know, the fact of the matter is that this surface...
Oh, mining, golly Moses, that's that stupid song by Taylor Made. That's that state police sergeant that went to that hate rally down in Logan County when he's sworn to uphold the peace, and he went down to a rally that was dedicated to whipping up a furor and a frenzy against people who are trying to save this state. Yeah, the guy that you hear singing that song, if it's the same song, is a sergeant in the state police.
Yeah. Well, what do you expect out of a cop? You know how I feel about them to start with too. They're public enemy number one to the union man, and plus anybody else. They ain't none of them fit to be called a protector of the people. I just don't have a use for cops at all. I see one, and in fact I was in Shoney's, me and somebody, and there was two of them come down the aisle walking side to side, and you know how wide that is. I just turned the corner and come right on, and if he hadn't moved, he would have got some stuff spilled on him. I don't have any respect for them to start with, and then think that they can walk side to side and just take up all the space. They can take that arrogance and put it where the sun don't shine. But I just wanted to do my spiel. I've thought a lot about that little conversation we had the other day. And as far as I'm concerned, the coal miners has not got a union, because I know what a union's supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing. And they are nothing but a bunch of selfish, self-centered people that if it don't affect them, to heck with you. But if it affects them, it's just like to give the example of when the gas rationing was on. They picketed everybody that would recognize the picket line and expected them to adhere to what their needs. But when it comes to other people, you don't hear nothing from them. And I don't know if that goes up or comes down from the leadership, or whether that is the general idea, or whether they're afraid of Massey, or what it
is. Well, there it is. There it is. You just said it. Because what happens is, and I'm not talking about... at this point, the union mountaintop removers. I'm talking about the people who work for Massey. They live in a constant state of terrorized fear, Ed. They are terrorized. The ordinary people who live near mountain removal jobs are terrorized by what's going on around them. The people on top of the hill blowing the hill up are terrorized by their employer because they're constantly told, this could end at any day. Those greenie-acts are going to take your job, and they're communists. And you're going to go on welfare. I mean, they tell them this, Ed. I know this for a fact.
Well, how can...
And then Massey turns around and lays them all off because Don Blankenship's decided that he's not getting enough per ton. And then turns around and blames the environmentalist radicals.
And now they're advertising for underground miners for Massey.
Exactly.
I don't know if we're opening up new mines or if that's old, if they're replacing other miners or what's going on. But they're sure advertising for them.
Oh, I know. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that, see, electricity generation produced by coal has dropped and continues to drop. The last number we had was from May, and it was 42.6%. And so-called steam coal, it's almost lignite, it's just garbage coal, is what comes off these mountaintop removal jobs. On the other hand, a lot of what comes out of these deep mines is metallurgical coal, and it sells at a significantly higher price per ton.
Well, they mix it, too.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I mean, you know, not everything that comes from underground is metallurgical.
But they take this junk coal that comes off of mountaintop removal and mix it with good coal, and good old China takes all they can get of it.
They'll burn it. They'll burn all they can get.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I hope if good union men heard what I had to say, that they don't take what I said personally, but it's them things I call scabs.
Listen, Ed, I'll say it plain. There is not a mountain remover who deserves to call himself a member of the United Mine Workers of America. At least not where my father, my grandfather, and my great-grandfather who toiled under the earth would be concerned. I know that for a fact because I had it from my own father's mouth.
Yeah, well, that's when you started your conversation on that just now, I thought they don't deserve it. Not the old mine workers we knew, because it was they went out and helped people, and you didn't hear them. They depended on the public support. Well, I remember when women got on a picket line for them, but now they're out there cussing and screaming and hollering at other people. And you spoke of 800 people in that industry. My gosh, they was it's hard to tell how many thousand auto workers got laid off, but they didn't show their hind end like that. You know, there's a time that you broaden your shoulders and you have to wade through what adversities that life has to offer. And I'm sure the auto workers hurt just as much as, and I have no idea what the numbers are, but I heard numbers where plants were being closed, how many was affected and so forth. But 800 don't touch it. You know, it's a bunch of crybabies, or I would say something worse, but I don't know who's going there. But nobody but them, that's all that counts.
Yep, and only ones on the planet.
That's right. Well, Bob, listen, I'll get off here and let somebody else have this last 15 minutes or so, and I'll hold and listen to the rest of what's going on.
All right, good deal. Ed, good to hear from you. Let me put you back on hold, and thank you very much for your thoughts.
Okay, and I'll talk to you a little later.
All right, take care, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Bye now. That's our buddy Ed, one of my neighbors here in Fayette County. And he knows what it means to be a part of a union movement. And he knows what a real union looks like. And it doesn't look like a mountaintop remover. That's a fact. And rolling onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Let's end this on a funny note, since it is prayer meetings.
Okay.
I just sent you a video called Pineapple Preacher.
Yes.
And if you play that for the audience, I don't think they'll believe what they hear.
Any fun words?
No.
Okay, is this as good as the... Well, never mind. They're all...
Yes.
You know the one I'm thinking about.
Yes. Jesus donut.
Yes, the religious donuts.
It's as insane as that.
All right, here we go. This is...
This is some wisdom now, everybody. This is intellectual wisdom at its best. Let us all listen to the greatness of it.
All right, stand by.
Thank you. New Guinea used to be Dutch New Guinea. God had put me there, my wife and I, among people who were just chronic thieves. So they stole everything. Those people, probably the greatest thieves on earth. They took everything. They stole everything. And, they took everything. They were chronic thieves. They were in a society of chronic thieves. Now, I'm Dutch by birth. I was born in Holland. One day, one lady stood there, and she had her necklace on. On the bottom of her necklace hung our only can opener. My wife, being a nurse, she sterilized that thing good, and we got it back. She said to me, "Otto, I can't find the diaper pins." There stood a group of women, and on their ears hung our diaper pins. The other day, I heard of a rock group here in America, which used safety pins on their ears. So I guess we're catching up with the jungle people. They stole my shirt. He had my shirt on. I said, you know, nobody else is wearing any shirts around there. He's got my wife's subscription sunglasses on. He has no clothing, just glasses. And I just gathered up the stuff I found in their homes, you know, got it all back. The women would come to our house and would train their children how to steal, always using my pineapple garden as training grounds. Oh, those women. I told them, I said, you know, quit training. They'd beat the kids if they got caught. No wonder they grow up the way they do. Oh, they never bathe. Can you imagine it? Never bathe. They can never sneak up on you. I'd have a stick, you know, and tap them on the shoulder. Hey, get back. But, you know, you don't hit them too hard. They've got 9-foot spears, right? And they're headhunters and cannibals, so you go easy. I said, hey, I was never angry until I met you people. Hey, I could be a real good missionary if it wasn't for you people, you know. But they stole all my pineapples, and I didn't know what to do. I closed the clinic. I said, no more clinic. They said, you're going to eat all the pills yourself. I said, no. I said, but if you, you're going to have to make a choice. You either get pineapples or you get pills. If you keep stealing them, you won't get pills. Make a choice. And they kept right on stealing. They were chronic. They couldn't stop stealing. And so they, I closed the clinic, and they all went off to their... Well, no, they sat on my front porch with their headaches, you know, rubbing their tongue, and give me some pills. And I said, hey, don't sit here hurting. Go sit on your own front porch, hurt there. That's where you eat the pineapples. That's where your head is going to hurt. And, they weren't happy with me. But by the weekend, they let their babies die. Can you believe it? Blamed us, that stingy white men. Here, people have died on that mission field, and I was their missionary, and they're lost forever in a Christless eternity in hell. And they're lost, and all I was doing was fighting for pineapples while they were going into eternity. And, oh, I was so grieved. I didn't think God would ever forgive me, but He did. He'll forgive you no matter what you do. And I reminded God how bad those people were, how the women danced with the bloody heads that the men took in headhunting, put them under their arms. And I described how wicked they were. That made me look pretty good.
Oh, my God. That is so
awesome. Yeah, I love the ego of anybody who says, who presumes to remind God of anything.
Wait, it gets better. That comes from a 12-hour lecture called The Pineapple Story.
Oh,
and you can buy it for $26.95. I know you're whipping out the money that you got for donations. You have to spend it on this.
David, sometimes I love you, and sometimes I hate you, okay? I just, oh, my God.
I know, but you know
that's
what?
That's a heck of a thing to inflict upon an unsuspecting audience with you know, 12 minutes left in the program. That's a six-hour show all by itself.
Well, just before I go, I just wanted to say one thing. I am hearing very close ties to what that guy is saying and people on the street. And if you ever wonder where we get it comes from these crazy erratic...
Oh, yeah, but straight out of the pulpit, David. I mean, I don't have to, you know, I don't, but I'm gonna remind people that before the West Virginia primary in May of 2008, I conducted an informal, highly unscientific survey in which I asked a number of people in my local community, who are you going to vote for? Well, I reckon I'm going to vote for McCain. Well, why is that? Well, I can't vote for Obama. Well, why not? Well, he's a Muslim, and his mama was an atheist. And this is the of every person who said he's a Muslim, I said, where did you hear such a thing? Not where did you hear some crazy thing like that. Now, I said, well, where did you hear such a thing? And without fail, every single person that I asked that of, David, said, in church.
Well, Bob. The thing that I would suggest is next time you have any crazy preachers, you should bleed that lecture into it. Or if you ever have a crazy preacher on the show, just turn that up. And they'll get the message to hang up. And then also, if you're around any people who are talking any nonsense, just yell out real loud, those damn pineapple thieves!
They were chronic thieves.
The naked pineapple thieves who only wore sunglasses.
And 9-foot spears.
With their diaper pins.
Through their ears.
Through their ears.
And I've seen a rock band that's got safety pins in their ears, so at least we're catching up with the pineapple thieves.
That guy sells a 12. you should see the cover of it. It's got a huge damn pineapple.
I buy it.
Mercy.
I would.
No, you
all
won't.
All right, Bob. I'm gonna let you go. I just
David. That's a heck of a thing to inflict on somebody you like.
I know. I like to traumatize you.
And I am. I am.
I know. So is Berg. I did my job.
Yeah, my work here is finished.
My work here is finished. I'll talk to you later.
Later, David. Bye now. Oh, mercy.
That's funny.
I don't care who you are. That's funny. But, you know, it's not. The guy's obviously insane. But did you hear the part where he said, they let their babies die? No. They didn't let their babies die. He withheld medication from a medical clinic for which he was sent there. He let their babies die in the name of Christ. Whew. Man. It's just breathtaking. And you know what? I want to take a little musical interlude before we knock off for the evening. A little something from a guy I consider to be a friend of the program. He was on the program. Got me an autographed photograph of him. Will Kimbrough. Because when Dave was talking a little bit ago about, you know, we need stickers for health care on our cars, our buddy David in Tennessee immediately thought of this and sent along a reminder. This one is precisely for that. And, you know, the genius of Will Kimbrough is that he can capture in something as short as a song something that takes us hours to put out in conversation. So just a little interlude before the close of the program. Will Kimbrough, Pride.
Getting all blown to hell makes somebody feel the need to print up 10 or 15 million Power of Pride stickers. Well, sure, there's the profit angle. I know some creep made millions off What Would Jesus Do? I like those Who Would Jesus Bomb lapel pins. When did pride get crossed off the list of deadly sins? Was that just another law passed by some old men back in the first century A.D. to keep the people in their place? There's no power in pride. Pride is a man who goes to war to save face. And pride is a man who cannot tell the truth that might make him look weak. There's no power in pride. Our sin is pride, and we know it. We just can't bear to talk about it. We paste those stickers right next to the Jesus fish we bought down at the Christian store. I'm not bashing Jesus, but how about we read what Jesus said for once? I say for balance, we take in a little Buddha. Johnny Cash. America is the land of the free on paper, my friend. There's still hope because we've yet to reach the promised land. We have lots of work to do, sisters and brothers, and pride will only set us back. There's no power in pride. Pride will take you down.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the question that Will asks in that song, part of the reason that I played it, because we've just got a couple of minutes left in the program, a little something to ponder on the way out. And do please remember that the horn lives on that frayed shoestring. And whatever you can do to help us keep going is much appreciated and much needed. I'm not kidding. Month to month, month to month, and any given month being a possible last one. So if you can help, and thanks to the ones who have during the program, thank you so very much. It is so sincerely appreciated. You know, Will asked that question about, you know, and the next thing you know, there's thousands of Power of Pride bumper stickers all over the country. Almost like the order was placed before anything happened. No, this is not the 9/11 conversation. I'm sorry. But along those self-same lines, something that was sent along to me, I believe, by our buddy Luke from Psychology Today. Dear God, I almost said Psychology. Psychology Today by Satoshi Kanazawa, who writes The Scientific Fundamentalist. And he asks the question, you remember the guy who was not named Joe, who screamed, "You lie," a few nights ago? Well, Satoshi Kanazawa asks the question, who took the picture of Joe Wilson and how? He says, so here's what I don't understand. If Joe Wilson's outburst during Obama's speech Wednesday night was truly spontaneous, as Wilson claims, and no one, including Wilson himself, could have anticipated it, how come there's a sharply focused and neatly centered picture of Wilson right at the moment he shouted, "You lie," when the outburst lasted less than a second? In the picture, Wilson's mouth is still open, apparently in the middle of his shouting lie. There are 535 members of Congress in attendance during the joint session, plus a few extras like Michelle Obama and Vicky Kennedy. Until last night, Wilson was just about the least well-known member of Congress. Why did someone have a camera fixed and focused on him during Obama's speech? The picture in question has been variously credited to Getty Images, Agence France-Presse, or Chip Samodavia. None of them are local press in South Carolina, which might have had a reason to pay particular attention to their local congressman during the speech. I doubt local press photographers are allowed in the joint session of Congress during a presidential speech anyway. Think about it. If you were the one of the probably dozen press photographers in the chamber that night, generally taking pictures of the congressmen and senators during the speech, and if you suddenly heard a two-word, one-second outburst coming from somewhere in the chamber uttered by one of the 535 members of Congress, okay, one of the Republicans, there is no way you could take a well-focused and neatly centered picture of the culprit during the second word of the outburst. Whoever took the picture must have anticipated the outburst. This is the question that Albert Brooks asked about William Hurt in Broadcast News, which eventually ended the relationship between Hurt and Holly Hunter. Apparently, Satoshi Kanazawa appreciates film as much as we do here. I just don't see, he says, how the picture could be possible. How can you capture someone's spontaneous moment when there are more than 535 other people around to pay attention to? Welcome to the Carnival Midway. Thanks, everybody, for joining in this evening. Thanks for your good thoughts. Thanks for your kind words. Thanks for your wonderful participation, however you choose to do so. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org, the hardest working, bravest people I know. Thanks to Peter Godbold, to John Fox, to Ben Birch. You know what their work is about, and you know why I thank them every night. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to the 16th day of September, this Wednesday, this middle of the week, this hump day, this downhill to Friday. Welcome, 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 one and all. It is, of course, prayer meeting Wednesday, but I've gotten a lot of correspondence, and I've received some really, really good articles, and I found something mildly entertaining, and I thought we might treat this evening, rather than going into the Cathedral of Common Sense and going down the blood red carpet, blood red aisle to the altar, and you know the stuff that we usually do on Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I thought we might treat this Prayer Meeting Wednesday a little differently. I thought we might treat this Prayer Meeting Wednesday as a sort of Christian Science reading room, and share some really, really profound, just darn fine thoughts that have rattled around the email inbox for a couple of days and needs to get out there into the ether before, well, you know me. I joke that Ferg has the attention span of a hummingbird. He comes by it honest, because that's me too. It's a hard thing to get to the end of the week and look up and realize, wait a minute. I didn't get to 90% of the stuff I meant. I could have done a 6-hour show last night. So rather than doing the usual Wednesday gig, tonight is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Indeed, it is. But here's hoping you don't have any cuts that refuse to stop bleeding, or any conditions requiring medication, because brothers and sisters, tonight is Christian Science Reading Room Wednesday. And we're going to delve into an article I mentioned last night from Dr. Bill O'Brien that he sent along to me. Also going to take a look at something that was sent to me by a number of people with some comments by our listener who in the chat room is known as Solo Pocono, as well as some emails that have come in that are very thought-provoking. So with that in mind, rather than the hacking and the harumphing that goes with the usual prayer meeting Wednesday, we'll have ourselves a nice, calm Christian Science Wednesday, and we will think our troubles away. Okay, that almost doesn't seem like parody, does it? That's the only way we're ever going to get rid of our troubles, is to first, you know, engage brain, then engage feet. You see what I'm saying? And I got some fun to share with you, too. I got a right-wing email today, and I'm going to share with you the entire exchange between a certain wingnut and me, because at least I think you'll get a giggle out of that. And, you know, we need to gotta have a giggle. This may be the Christian Science reading room of the holy chuckle. How's that? But with all that in mind, the phone has lit up right away, and you know when it happens like this, right at the top of the show, I know things must be pretty hot. So we will go to the phone and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, pretty hot. It's only 102.
On the desert.
On the desert. Yeah. Hey, how is it in West Virginia? Beautiful, by God, West Virginia.
It's beautiful. It really is what's left of it. Kate, I was thinking today as I drove back and pulled back into the driveway, I could see the old scrabbly apple trees down at the border of the property, and then the beautiful lush green hill, and it seemed that's just in these big cumulus clouds on the horizon, and it seemed that something behind the hill was literally pushing the clouds into the air, and I just thought, wow, that's just exquisite.
Yeah, it's fixing to get fall there, huh?
It is fixing.
Fitting to get fall. I'm gonna switch this to speaker because I can't hear you very well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Does that mess up your audio?
No, not mine. Unless I get the cries of complaint from the chat room, we will assume that everything is just fine. Are you hearing me okay?
It's pretty loud here in the room, but I can't. It's easier to hear you. I'm on a landline, a borrowed landline. I just thought I'd call in and say hey, and it's thank you for not doing all that slimy preacher guy. Ooh.
he just gives you the willies, doesn't he?
Yes, I want to take a shower every night. I don't have time to take a shower this afternoon. So anyway, yeah, he does. I know too many of him, and he's so for real. And you do such a good job of him. I just can't believe it's coming out of your mouth. So,
well, you know, there are residuals that I have to deal with as a recovering Southern Baptist, Kate. So yeah, I'm sure you understand.
From Alabama.
Yeah.
Anyway. I just called to check in to let everybody know that I'm like still on the desert, and after I got home and read 20 books and sat in my recliner for a month, my neighbor got pretty ill and is on hospice care, and I offered to come over and take care of her while her son was gallivanting around, and so I'm doing kind of 24/7 live in, not medical hospice care, but I mean she doesn't need that yet, but just needs somebody here all the time. So I'm on duty until Saturday, I think. So anyway, and the other thing I wanted to call in about was that I just noticed that it's like the middle of the month, and I haven't called in on my fundraising rant recently, like for 2 or 4 months, whatever. And
it has been a while.
I bet the pink envelopes are stacking up. Am I right? You haven't gotten in close to $1,000 for the month of September, huh?
No. In fact, it's brutally, bitterly grim. You asked. We face these times, Kate. We've faced them before. But every now and then we get within a lot closer than shouting distance of no more horn, no mo. And
yeah,
this is one
that.
Of those
and
times.
I sort of know that when I wake up in the morning and think, for one thing, I haven't been archiving, and I haven't been streaming, and I haven't been live streaming because of just, I live in cell tower hell out here, and then for me to listen to archives is way too late at night, and morning comes awfully early around here, and so I just can't afford the luxury of laying in bed until 8 o'clock in the morning if I've stayed up until...